ladies and gentlemen, we welcome you to another edition of the Sunday Breakdown. Now, where is Hong Kong food?
Dude, yep, he had to go pee.
Just let him out to pee?
Hong Kong Fu was a bastard hound?
I don't believe the man, that shit cray. Jeff and Rob, let him out to play. Wandered in the traffic for a ninja display. Then there's no more Hong Kong Fu today. Don't you cry, guys, it's okay. Show was dead long ago anyway. Now the form is yours, take it away. Call these cats out in MMA. Make it loud, make it live. Spirit of the Hong Kong Fu was devised. No longer can the ninja be surprised. Take the internet, bring it back alive, come on!
Boom! Now we break it down. Tonight, we're gonna shut it down. Hear your voice from amongst the crowd. Let they break down, scream aloud.
All right, welcome to Sunday Night Breakdown, brought to you by Clinch Mouth Guards, MMA Madhouse, and Mikey Ruckus, great sponsors we have. How you doing, Rob?
I'm doing pretty good, man. Finally rested after my all-nighter last night.
Yeah, it was a long one. Work all day and then work all night.
Yeah, man. I mean, you know, I don't normally spend my weekends in Eugene, but I spent both days in Eugene this weekend. And then I'm just glad. Part of me is glad that I did work because I wouldn't have wanted to drive home from fucking Seattle at 1:30 in the morning. That would have been a little frustrating.
Yeah, understandably. I'm pretty sure you would have stayed, though. Probably.
I never stayed, dude. I just got home at like 5:30 in the morning.
That's true. Not much difference.
So
it was a long night.
Exactly,
I'm not used to fights that start at 7 o'clock, ending at, or I guess it started a little late, but 6-hour long fight card is a long damn time.
Yeah. Cause, I mean, you got to figure, man, people probably got there about 6:30. And then I think Mike Hayes left the cage at like 1:14 or something.
Wow.
Yeah, it was fucking late. But I mean, if you made it through that far and you got to see that TKO, that was pretty good.
Yeah, it wasn't that many people there by that time. It was probably half were gone, maybe more. But people are that way, you know. Once their fighter is done, a lot of times they leave.
Yeah, which is something I don't really understand. That really blows my mind how that works. Like, I mean, we see that, you know, regularly. And, I mean, I think it's great that people support the individual fighter. I mean, don't get me wrong. I think definitely support the guy. But, I mean, dude, you're already at the fights, man. You can't tell me that, like, you're not having fun even after your buddy's done.
Right. Yeah, it's strange. I bet people sure do it. We see it all the time.
Oh, dude, I saw it at Bellator, Jeff. It happened at Bellator.
Wow.
Like, after Nathan Coy's fight, I watched a bunch of people leave. And after, I can't think of who the other person was, ton of people
Austin
left.
Or Primus?
No, neither of those two. It was neither of those two guys. Maybe Ryan. No, it wasn't Ryan Healy. I don't know who it was. But it wasn't Austin's people left, like, quite a ways after his fight. He scheduled, like, his after party or something to start at, like, 8 o'clock.
So he was gone too?
Yeah, so he left. I think he ended up staying a little bit later than that, but then he left, like, you know, I think I'm pretty sure he left before the main event happened.
Oh, that's weird. That's a bad idea, I would think. As a promoter, I don't think I'd be very happy if one of my fighters left before the card was ended to go party. I don't know. It'd be kind of strange. You find that odd?
For me, you know, if I just drop $35 on some tickets, I'm not going. I mean, unless I've already, like, you know, I go to football games. I don't really pay for tickets. I mean, I have a pretty good day job, so I get some hookup on tickets. But, dude, I mean, unless it's, like, a real bad blowout where I'm just like, oh, my God, like, I can't watch any more of this, then I normally stay. I mean, at fight, dude, I mean, shit, I you know what I mean? Now, granted, I'm at most fights as media, but I'm not, like, I wouldn't dip out early even if when I was buying tickets, like, 10 years ago. Before
most
I got,
the time
like,
you fight, you're looking for towards the end.
Yeah, exactly.
You're weird.
I'm going to watch the 3 preliminary undercard fights. Fuck the main event.
Yeah, those prima donnas. I'm not watching them.
Yeah. Man, $10 a fight, that's a great idea. I like it when it's like around like $3 a fight. Like, I'm not trying to pay like $12 a fight for like the first 3 fights of the night. That's not my gig, dude. I'm sorry. I don't think I know too many people that fight within the first 3 fights of the night that I think are worth $12 portion of my ticket. Actually, I'll take that back. Alex Corrales fought second last night.
Yeah.
Ben Eggley fought first.
Yes.
God, though that okay. I would say that those two together could be worth like 6 apiece for their fights.
Yeah.
But not 12.
I was pretty impressed by Ben Eggley. I hadn't seen him before.
Made quick work, didn't he? Don't go to the ground with him. Don't go to the ground with him.
No, I would definitely have to back that up. This looks like a horrible idea.
That was a pretty slick triangle he locked up, dude.
Yeah, effortless. That other guy was
an
savage striker, but doesn't do very good on grappling.
The guy was a savage striker? Wow, I'm going to have to find out.
That's how Raven was billed as a savage striker, but we didn't really get to see any hit. But that's how he was billed.
Interesting. I'll have to go watch some more tape on him. I really had no intentions of picking him, so I really once I knew who he was fighting, I wouldn't have cared if he was K-1 level striker. I didn't think he was going to win. Okay, maybe if he was a K-1 level striker.
That's just a big mismatch on the ground. You can't be that much weaker than the other person and expect to. You can't really not go into the ground unless you are really a super athlete. It's just not likely. You're going to end up there eventually in a fight. So. Even if you're tripping over the other person after you kick them, I mean, not very often do they never hit the ground. And can one trick, that'd be a rounded fighter. Eggley looks like he's got skills besides the ground, that's for sure.
No, yeah, I mean, that's the good thing about Eggley is he does have skills besides the ground.
His
you
manager
know?
Already
I mean,
hit me up for his next fight, and they would like to fight Ben Fodor.
Yeah. I saw Spanny angling for that.
I don't know if that's the best fight right now.
Well, I think he takes out Ben Fodor. Pretty easy.
Easy, you think?
Yeah. Like I think inside the first round, Ben Eggley finishes that fight.
Wow. Well.
However he wants
maybe.
On the ground.
Oh, maybe. I mean, there's a lot of people that tried to do that, but they're not, you know, all, like Cody McKenzie. There's legitimate guys that tried to do that, but it's a different time now and older.
Maybe, I don't know, man. I just didn't really see much out of Ben Fodor last night that really impressed me.
You got wheels. I saw too much running.
I saw too much looping right
hand. 3 years of ring rust, man. 3 years of ring rust. I
understand
that.
Well, I understand that, but dude, it's like he's still down scrapping on the street.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, I suppose you can get away with like throwing those. I mean, and maybe it was that Khan's length was a real problem for him. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I wasn't in there. You know, I mean, I understand he's coming off 3 years, but I mean, and I guess that Khan's length could have been a problem.
It was. He fights tall. Even Khan, some tall guys kind of crouch and they're not as tall. He stays pretty tall. So there was a big difference in height and reach. He was keeping him back with it, but man, I just didn't like all the running. It was just a lot of running, but I guess it worked. Ben wasn't super thrilled with his performance after the fight. He said, next time I'll be a lot better. So I'm going to be interested to see what next time is. But there's some action started backstage that I think should work itself out in the cage. So I don't know if we're going to make it happen right now, but it's going to happen sometime in the next year. But that'd be Ben Fordo versus Lyle Beerbohm.
Really?
Yeah. But apparently some stuff happened backstage, and the show, that fight should happen. I guess Ben was mean-mugging on Lyle, and Lyle said, we got a problem? And he said something like, yeah, we do. So I guess Ben wants that fight. I don't know that his coach is going to let him, and I'm not so sure that the state of Washington will let him, because 1-0 against the whatever, 27-4 or something, that's kind of lopsided. But they have seen them both fight, and they might think that it's a good fight. I know some people think it's a good fight. Hamlet thinks it's a good fight. I don't think it's that good of a fight right now, but maybe. I never know with Ben. I don't know what he's going to do. It seems to just do enough.
Ben did have the best haircut of the night.
You think?
Oh, yeah, dude. The high top fade, bro? Yeah.
Probably right. Yeah. He changed
maybe
overnight.
The best haircut in MMA.
You got what?
That may be the best haircut in MMA. That shit was badass, dude.
The big flat top. He's like as tall as Zach with the flat top. He's only like 5'11". They introduced him to 6 foot. He ain't 6 foot. If he's 6 foot, then I'm 5'11". And you know I'm not 5'11".
No. You're
I'm gonna care.
We won't go there.
My wife said I'm 5'11 laying down, but not standing up. I don't know what she means. What was your, let's go through the fights, man. That's what this show's for. Review of Cage Warrior Combat 9?
We are.
The what?
Well, that's what we've been doing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, maybe we should start at the beginning and just go through fight by fight. Because you know me, I'm like, a goldfish, I'm pretty short attention span, so if we bounce all over the place, I'll just be lost and confused and say what a lot. You know what it's like to work with a handicap.
I just want to know, dude, where do you find these people named Raven Juice?
In Tacoma.
Is that his real name?
Yeah. Isn't that crazy? His last name is actually pronounced Geist. But everybody says Juice. But, yeah. And he's like a 5-4 amateur, I believe. And now he's a pro. He's one that was supposed to put up by practice on the last card, the Friday night card, but wanted the GSP money to do it. So it didn't happen. He's one of those guys I think they're going to have to find a special opponent for him. Got to find someone who's not so... Someone who just likes to get in there and bang, you know, someone... You know those guys like that. He's going to have to be someone like that, or he's going to have to really work on his wrestling.
What about Raven Geist and... Jerome
Thank you.
Jones.
I was thinking Frankie Orr. Yeah.
No, Frankie's coming off a win. That was kind of a pointless fight for Frankie.
Jones is like 15-7. That's a pretty big... Isn't he had a real good record? I think I have it here. I don't know if that fight would fly at 1-0. But Jerome's just got ground game. He just...
Who's 1-0?
Not against Ivan. He's what?
Who's 1-0?
Jerome? Jerome Jones isn't 1-0. Jerome Jones has over 15 fights.
Yeah, I know he does. He's got like 20 fights.
Yeah. And Raven's 1-0. Or 0-1.
Well, yeah, but, dude, see, this is what I understand, man. You're a pro fighter, dude. Fight.
Right. I don't think it's the fighters that would make that call. I think the state of Washington wouldn't allow that fight to happen.
Why? They're both coming off a loss.
Doesn't look good on paper. You know, I agree. I don't think it's bad. I mean, I think that definitely favors Jerome. But what are his choices out there?
Okay, how about this? Definitely
there's not a lot of choices.
Well, why don't we do this, dude? Why don't Zach Kahn and Raven Geis?
Yeah, I think that'd be interesting. That's a good idea.
Can Raven make 170?
Oh, I would think so. Yeah,
he didn't
he
look
170.
He didn't look like that lean. He fought at 185 last night with Ben, though.
Really?
I think so.
Yeah, he definitely. He can make 170. No, are you sure? That might have been mistyped. Because I believe that it was 170.
Oh, because I know that Ben was the 170 FCFF champ.
Yeah, it was 170. He weighed in at 171, I'm pretty sure.
So, then we can get Raven Geis and Zach Kahn. And that opens
Raven
us
and
up to. A Raven and who?
Jack Stanton, the guy that fought Pavez.
Yeah, that'd be another good one.
You seen him
fight
twice now.
Even,
that's better.
Even Raven and, what about Ben Fodor and the Mule?
Oh, Ben Fodor's on his way to 55. He'll be at 55 at the next fight.
Oh, really?
I think that is a... That's a bad fight for Ben, I think. I don't know. The Mule was, you can see the difference last night in the next level and this level in that fight, I think, was a prime example of a DeMarcus Johnson that wasn't at his best, obviously. He didn't.
That won that
either
fight.
Either didn't take it serious or something was wrong because he was so overweight. But
he won that
but
fight.
His punches were nasty. Not right. He wobbled him a few times. If you judge that fight with pride rules, I think you probably have a different winner.
I think if you judge that fight appropriately, you have a different winner.
Yeah.
You can't get knocked down in the second and third round and not really score those rounds for Johnson because Ian didn't really do much of anything.
Yeah, I was surprised. I had the fight going the other way, and I was surprised, very surprised when it didn't. But I don't know. I don't believe that the judges are affected by him missing weight or anything like that. But it was an interesting coincidence that he didn't make weight by 12 pounds, and the crowd is going. I just razzed him through the whole fight. The crowd's just busting his chops, nonstop about being heavier and couldn't even make weight. And just, it was nonstop. So I suppose it could have made some sort of impact on things, but I don't know. It's kind of not very classy to come in that much over. Really disrespects everybody involved, the people who are giving you a lot of money, your opponent. You show up 12 pounds over.
Well, you know what?
Yeah,
the fight still happens.
Your body's just not reacting.
The fight still
happens.
You're
not reacting because you're not feeling it to get off the fucking couch and go, we will do work. I mean, 12 pounds?
Yeah, I understand that. Nobody's saying that that's okay behavior. But once Friday night was over, and everybody agreed to have the fight anyway, then him missing weight is no longer a factor. And especially it's not a factor in the eyes of the guys judging the fight because if it was the other way around and they're allowing one guy to miss weight to have an effect on who they feel wins the fight, that's wrong.
Yeah, I don't think that it did, but whatever other reasons are there, to me, I thought it was kind of clear to me who won. I mean, I love the Mule. I wanted to see him win, but I didn't feel that he did win, and I was looking for a way to build a case. You know, how could I say, he won, and this is why? I just wasn't really coming up with a very good case. You know, he won because the judges picked him, and did some good things, but he was rattled a few times, really rattled. But it looked like he could have been finished. And the commentator, or Jens Bolger, said, you know, this a DeMarcus Johnson who took this serious and showed up in shape, this is a less than one round fight. But this DeMarcus Johnson here, this is the fight you get.
Well, I'll tell you that I saw two guys get hit really, really hard last night. I mean, I saw more guys get hit really, really hard than two. But the two I remember was the first time that DeMarcus Johnson really laid a hand on Ian Williams. And
that's
the other one was Curtis Stevens last night when Triple G knocked him on his ass in the second round. And, like, while he's laying on his back, you see him, like, going, whoa, like, holy shit, that guy just hit the fuck out of me. No, man, on HBO Boxing.
Nice.
But, I mean, those were two very, very hard punches. And there were several times where DeMarcus really cracked fucking Ian upside the dome. And that just shows, man, that Ian Williams, he stayed on his feet that whole fight with Dave Corshane, too.
Yeah. To me, it looked like that DeMarcus Johnson hits harder than Dave Corshane with the power. Dave's a lot more precise and a lot faster and busier, but those big punches that DeMarcus threw were hard. Like he stepped through them, a lot of weight behind him. They were hard.
Oh, yeah. They were long, long punch. Like, they look like his fucking arms at times look like he was, like, dragging them off the ground, man. Like, boom. But I bet, dude, if Dave weighed 185, that he probably hit pretty much as close to as hard as that guy.
Sure. I think he probably does hit just as – or harder. I think he just – in his – you know how fighters are – they don't throw every punch really hard. Marcus
says,
like, most of his punches are really hard punches.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's really a long puncher, man, and Dave's that same way. Like, they have long punches.
Yeah, great reach. He has some broad shoulders. It makes him, you know, when he turns sideways, he gets even more out of it, and he just definitely has more reach than Ian. But Ian weathered the storm and got the victory, so I'm happy for him. It's cool. He did what he was supposed to do. He worked hard. The decision is the decision, so can't fault him. Did all he could do.
That decision.
And how much money does DeMarcus lose? You know, I'm not going to tell you, but a lot of money.
25%.
No, I mean, if Ian said I'm not fighting him, he didn't make weight, then he's going to get 0%.
Oh yeah.
Because you get the show for showing up and making weight, not for just showing up. So he wouldn't have even got his show money. He could have just walked out with zero. So Ian lives local. He owns a business. He doesn't really need the money. I mean, he needs the money, but it's not like that's what's driving him. So he could have walked away from it, but he wanted to fight. He has fans and family, and they were there, and he wanted to follow through. So I can tell his coaches were not very happy with DeMarcus, though. I hope he doesn't make it happen to this. It made it hard to feel sorry for him when the decision didn't go his way. I didn't feel a lot of pity for him because he didn't make weight. He showed up ready and got a bad call, then I'd feel bad.
Oh, yeah. Well, let's go back to the front end of the card because we kind of jumped way to the deep part.
That was
my
point. In the process of telling you how I'd go around boxing, I bounced.
It's okay, though, man. It's all right, man. I want to go talk about Alex Corrales now.
Yeah, me too.
I only want to talk about somebody missing weight so often.
Yeah. That's less often.
It's a sore subject for me.
Yeah, no doubt.
But
yeah,
how about Alex Corrales' debut, man?
He looked good. I think I saw a couple of things I'd like to see him do a little bit differently, but for the most part, he looked great. He showed incredible patience for being such a young fighter. His patience at maintaining position before he tried to get anything done was so good. It was so smart. I mean, once he got position, he didn't lose it. If he did lose it, he got it right back. And that was impressive. You know Chris Wheaton well. I know him well. We know he's tough as hell. He just is missing part of his game. Alex, I mean, he did great. It's dangerous to get in there and trade with Chris like he was. I saw Alex eat a couple big punches. He took it. It didn't even slow him down. I didn't know if he had a very good chin. You know, I knew that he'd been knocked out before. I didn't know how good his chin was. I thought it was tested last night, and his chin is fine.
Yeah, I think Alex might be have started doing some of those Floyd Mayweather anti-knockout exercises, you know.
Oh, like Dave does, with all the neck work and all that?
Yeah. Like where you chew on a towel with ice cubes in it, and that's also a weight cutting trick, but to help strengthen your jaw so that you can, and then they'll do those, you put a weight so it fits from the crown of your head right down underneath your jaw, and you can do lifts. And just do some retarded shit, man.
Yeah.
But I mean,
Did you know there's a collar?
A collar?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were talking about a collar on somebody's neck. I'm I've heard they have that way to do it too, but I don't know how exactly that works. 253, who's with us? I got a feeling Eddie Blackburn.
Nope.
253.
Hello?
Hello.
Hello.
How you doing?
Hello. And you are?
Who's this?
This is James.
Oh, James.
Oh, I didn't know it was in. I thought I was just listening.
No, we forced you in.
Yes,
we can
you
send
were.
You back to listening.
You forced me in it.
We forced you. We forced you to do things you didn't really want to do, but we know that you called, so you obviously
awesome.
Wanted to be a part of it. Did you make it to the show last night, or were you working?
Oh no, I made it to the show. Yep, and I till the very end, brother.
Wow.
In it to win it. Watched all the fights. Yeah, I saw both Jeffs. They were stalking, and they didn't look happy. After the fight. I'm not sure if that's true or not, but they were kind of antsy, it looked like.
Who?
Jeff Bourgeois and Hoglund. After Ian's win.
Yeah, they were not
they were yeah, after the fight was over, the judges' card wasn't tallied. The scorecards weren't tallied yet, and they were pacing back and forth. It was interesting to see that.
Who'd you have winning that fight, James?
I had Ian winning personally, but that's me.
You had what?
I had Ian winning.
You have bad seats.
I was up quite a ways, but I was watching the Jumbotron, some of it.
What made you think that Ian was winning? I mean, obviously he was. He did win, so I don't mean to sound like you're wrong or anything. I'm just, how did you have him winning? What made you believe he won each round?
Control on the ground. He got rocked a couple times. Hometown favorite. Plays a factor a little bit. Plus, he had some serious heart. I don't know what the judges
see. That's
not
see, in the scoring criteria, though. In the scoring criteria, there's no heart in.
Oh, I understand that, but you can't take the human factor out of the judges, right?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that's just my opinion, my humble opinion.
It'd be a great job for a non-human, because then it wouldn't matter that you're an idiot.
That's,
you know.
That's why I'm good at it.
If we could call every name in the book, if we could just call a machine every name in the book, that would be better.
That's why I'm good at it.
But I was shocked about the 11 pounds over. I was really shocked about that.
Yeah. 182 pounds for a 170-pound fight is pretty freaking huge.
Yeah.
And he had to show up on – he had to be – the one catch was on the day of the fight. He had to show up and be 184 or less. So if he did step down to 182, he didn't get to put shit back on before he had to weigh in again the next day at 4 in the afternoon – and be within the allowance of how much more you can weigh than your opponent.
Right.
So, got to be under 15 pounds at that weight. So, he had to be 14 pounds away, and he was.
Oh, yeah.
I think he didn't look too good. The Marcus looked horrible. He just had hard punches, big punches.
Yeah, he looked, for some reason, he looked a little bit faster. His punches were at least. I don't know if it was a timing thing or what.
I think he would have had a very difficult time with Josh Calvo.
He had a difficult time with what?
With Calvo. If Calvo wouldn't have got hurt, I think that would have been a really hard fight for DeMarcus in the shape that he showed up.
Oh, yeah.
Josh Calvo was so fast and busy, I think it would have really overwhelmed him. Would have had to catch him.
Well, my hat's off to Ian, though. I mean, he's a tough dude.
Yeah, dude, Ian Williams is definitely maybe the toughest welterweight in the Pacific Northwest. Best chin
far. I'm actually looking forward to his teammate. I saw him make his debut, Tyson Cunningham.
Yeah, he made
his debut. He made his debut at the Emerald Queen.
Yep.
For his pro debut. Yeah. I've seen him fight amateur, too, and then Chris and Zoe got to tangle up with him when they cross-trained with him. It was pretty – that gym is just top-notch.
Yeah, can you imagine what it's like with the mule and him going at it every day? Talk about making something better.
Oh, for sure.
Awesome.
Absolutely.
What other fights did you like that night, James?
I have to say the Josh Houston, that was a knockout. I believe that was it was. I was trying to keep everybody posted that couldn't make it. The head kick.
You believe it was a knockout? It was almost a murder.
Yeah, jeez. I mean, we could hear it all the way up here. It was shin to skull.
I put a video up of it. It's nasty. For sure.
Here's what's funny about that fight is that fight was extremely boring for two and a half rounds.
Yes.
There was a part of me that wished I'd never sat and wasted 12 minutes of my life. And then all of a sudden, in like one third of a second, I forgot about the other 12 minutes of my life, and I was like, that was the most amazing thing I've ever seen.
That was a bullseye. Perfect part of his shin. Everything. He could not have hit that better.
Oh, we could hear it up in the top rows, you know. It was like, yikes. Then they kept showing the replay, and that was pretty devastating.
Yeah.
Also, the Mike Hayes head kick. That was pretty good, too.
Yeah.
Not as devastating, but ended the fight. That's all he needed.
Yep. Mike looked
good. Did you guys already have Eddie on?
No, not yet.
Oh.
He works graveyard, so it's a little harder to get him these days.
Yeah, I don't envy that shift. That sucks. I'm going back to Denny's this week.
All three shifts.
I have before, but not if I can help it. I missed the whole week of training.
That's not good.
Hey, so
you got a fight coming up, right? Don't you have a fight coming up? Aren't you training for a fight?
You're such an instigator, Jeff.
I thought you were training for a fight. You got to make up your mind, man.
Yes and no. Let's not spread the rumors quite yet.
You got to be committed. Committed.
Let's not spread rumors quite yet.
Is that a rumor? What part's a rumor?
Oh, boy.
Do you want to fight him?
What's that?
Do you want to fight him? Yes.
It would be interesting, yes.
I would say yes.
It would be
interesting.
Who are we talking about so everybody can know who we're talking about?
Not yet.
No,
I've got to get down to a comfortable weight first.
What's our target weight class?
What is it, Jeff? 70?
Around 55.
Oh, hell yeah.
That would be hard for me.
Hell yeah.
But I will definitely try my hardest.
James, I will help you. I will help you. I will buy you a bag of chicken breast so that you have some to eat to get down there.
50,
and I'll even throw in some jalapenos. I'll even throw in some jalapenos, man. Come on.
Ooh, yeah, buddy.
And a bottle of Tapatio.
Tapatio. I got the sriracha sauce.
Hey, did you hear
Keep
about
in mind,
the sriracha
if you lose,
plant?
Though, you're going to have to move. You lose, you got to move. If you lose, though, you're going to have to move away.
Why is that?
Because that's what you put on.
That's going to be the loser leaves?
Yeah, loser leaves. Loser's out of town. Never be heard from again. I think that's a good deal. I'll take that fight.
Dude, I think Brad Pohl would help you get ready for that one, too.
Oh, I know he would. Let's get past a couple other hurdles first.
When was the last time you were inside the cage or ring?
Cage.
When was the last time you were inside the cage?
Oh.
Last week.
Cage Quest
3? Cage Quest
3. But as far as sparring-wise, probably a year and a half. 2 years.
What about as far as a fight?
Gosh, it's been a long time, so it'd be... I was in my 20s.
Like 30 years
so
ago?
Like 5 years ago?
30 years ago, yeah, 30 years ago.
Nice job, Jeff.
I love you, bro.
Thank
you
for covering me there, Rob, with your five. Good cop, bad cop thing, I guess, huh?
Well, we middled it pretty good, man.
Good cop.
You know, I think we did a pretty good job on hitting the middle.
Yeah. Somewhere in there.
Yeah, it was pretty good. Pretty good.
So do you win by submission or by knockout?
I would have. I don't know. However, I can take it. I'm not picky when it comes to ending things. If I had a choice, the faster the better. Probably TKO leg kicks.
Just make him fall down and can't get up. That would be kind of cool. Get up, boy. Get up.
I can't.
I'm not that kind of guy. I don't talk.
That's
not me.
For you, man. That's what we do here. We talk shit.
Oh, there'll be a lot of people talking. There'll be a lot of people. That'll be like a line, James. You could like charge. Like you can be like, look, I'll sell you this day. You can be my official shit talker on July 14th. It only costs you $100, and people will line up for blocks.
Yeah,
I could make you at least $1,000. I know for a fact if we just sold like 10 days.
That's funny.
That's have to be a pro
let's
fight.
Let's take this a week at a time.
It's going to sell a lot of tickets, so you need to be a pro fight.
Let's take this a week at a time right now.
What you weigh at?
You don't want to know.
I ask.
I'll text it to you.
Did it start with a one?
Hold on.
Yeah. Yes, hey. It starts with a one.
We're not asking for your wife's weight. We're not asking for your wife's weight.
The listeners don't know that you're 5'2", so it doesn't even matter. Well, now they might.
No, thanks. Thanks for throwing that out there, Jeff. I'm really 5'1.5" on a good day.
Jeff's just coming through. Bastard sometimes, huh?
Brutal, man. I tell you, the better friends I get with him, the more I take it.
Well, Rob knows how that is.
Yeah,
we used to be
good
friends, so me and Rob get to be better friends, and we like each other less and less. It's weird.
Well, that's just because neither of us are willing to back down off the ledge. We're like, oh, you think that's how close you can get, you motherfucker? I'm going to get closer.
No, we're both over the edge. We don't even know it yet. We're falling off the cliff. And
what did
that's
you guys
funny,
think
man.
About Andy Pavez coming out in the second round like somebody stuck a stick of dynamite up his ass?
Well, when he took that illegal knee to the head. Isn't that the one? No, that wasn't it.
No,
that
was a different
one. I got mixed up with that fight. My bad. Yeah,
that was the Nick Ryan fight, right?
Oh, it was Johnny Gilbertson and Gabe Solario.
Yeah, someone got
Oh, yeah,
to the head.
Right.
And he came out on fire.
Yeah, Pavez, man. And the second, like, the first round was standard Andy, where, you know, he's going to get the takedown, he's going to ride you out. It was reminding me of, like, three fights ago when I watched him at Cage Sport. It was the opening fight, and I was, God, I was ready to take a nap after that 15 minutes. Then the second round last night, he came out, and I was like, who the hell is this guy? Like, he practically ran across the cage and was on the attack.
Andy Pavez, the finisher? No. Still meaning so.
The Darce finisher.
The Darce.
Was that the sub of the night?
I don't know. Maybe.
Because the Amy Davis deal was pretty awesome.
Yeah, and that looked pretty good.
The
what did you guys thought about that one? I was kind of hoping Eddie was going to call before we talked about that.
It'll get overturned.
Yeah, I like both guys.
Yeah, me too. I'd like to see them rematch and just work it out.
Yep.
It's a bad ending.
Yep.
I think that both those guys might like to rematch with the referee.
The what? No, they don't want to rematch that referee.
Rematch with the referee.
No, that's a bad idea. Not that referee. That referee would beat both of them.
I don't know, man.
Oh, yeah. Trust me. I've trained with him. He's really tough. No thanks. He's been fighting forever. He fought Hamlet. He's been around a long time.
I think a rematch between those two would be awesome.
Yeah.
I would
know they both train hard.
Don't leave your neck hanging out like, you know, like an ostrich.
He was defending it right. He wasn't gonna go out. He was doing it right, and
yeah,
Aaron would have
right.
had to change something up to finish it, but we didn't get that far.
But
what
I
know
the
referee
was
horrible.
What
it
looked like to me was that Rob tried to do like that real sneaky thing, where because you watched he like limped his body, like to try and fake out Aaron to like make Aaron think he was out, and that's when the ref stopped it.
Because Aaron yelled, he's out. You're right above me. And he's saying he's out. So he grabbed him, and then Rob just immediately looks up, and he's like, oh, damn. The ref just looked like he just wanted to die. I feel really sorry for him because I've been in that exact spot, and it sucks when you think you're stopping it because they're out, and they just look up at you like you knocked on their door and nothing's wrong at all. Well, it's just like, brutal.
Well, I didn't see him go limp. I just saw his hand go down. It looked like he was trying to block just in case knees were going to come up.
Well, with his right arm, he was giving the thumbs up to the referee, but the referee was staring at his face, which is what I do, too. I told Rob, I said, in the future, dude, don't close your fucking eyes. Keep your eyes open. Because we're looking – if your eyes are closed, you're asleep. Open your eyes and make sure we know you're awake. Be saying, I'm fine, waving your hands, doing something, but don't just close your eyes and concentrate on what you're doing because we think you're sleeping. He closed his eyes. He picked one foot up off the ground, which made it seem kind of like he was going limp. I think he was trying to make himself feel heavier for Aaron. And then he jumped in. And it wasn't good.
Yeah, that was a bummer. Hey, not to change the subject or take away from the importance of that fight, but the crowd, man, so it was kind of a brutal crowd. Unlike most MMA fights I've been to.
Like, you mean small?
I saw there's one fight.
Because it looked pretty small.
There was quite a bit of people, but no, what I mean about brutal is the fans were just, I've never heard so many boos. I don't know. I'm just one of those things, like, there was almost a fight between two chicks. It was ridiculous.
There was a fight behind me up from across from where you were. Where were you?
I was next to what, Ivan's and Combat Sports crew.
Okay, then you were where the fight was.
Nutshot, then. Yeah.
That's where the fight was.
Oh, yeah. I'm like, what the heck?
You know why the fight happened? Why it started?
No, I don't know.
They were going off about the referee. And the referee's students were also sitting in that section. So,
Ooh.
Yeah.
Well, I just saw one of them turn around, some chick turn around, and she just started coming up to the side, and guys were trying to stop, and I was like, oh, man. Whew. Not good. I don't like it when that happens.
Yeah, it makes it feel weird.
Yep.
Dirties it up. Sports violent enough.
And,
funny fighting audience.
Well, yeah.
The audience, crazy fighting in an audience, because you look around the audience, now who we are, you know who people are. You see a little guy sitting there. He's just not a little old man. That little old man will fuck you up.
Yeah.
That looks like a librarian will kill you. The lady who looks like a bus driver, she will kick you in the face. I mean, you just never know.
She'll choke you out.
Dude, that's why, yeah. Man, at Cage Quest 3, dude, I was so hoping to see Wu's dad and Jordan Harrington's mom throw down.
Like, good fight.
Like, they were on the verge, dude. I really thought that Jordan's mom was going to get up and bitch slap that guy.
Don't call my son a motherfucker. Don't call
Yo,
my
yeah,
son.
Dude. Yeah, dude. That's what, like, oh, my God, man. Like, once Wu's dad said, get that motherfucker, and fucking Jordan's mom heard, she was like, oh, no. Oh, no, he did not call my son a motherfucker. Oh, no, he did not. Oh, no, he did not.
I missed all that.
Dude, that shit was priceless, man. I kept sitting there, and I'm looking at Abel, and I'm like, oh, shit, man. I'm like, what the fuck? I'm like, do I watch the fight in the cage, or do I watch the one that's about to break out behind me?
That's nuts.
Always something going on. What did you think of that? Did you see the Alex Corrales, Chris Wheaton fight, James? What did you think?
Yes, I thought that was pretty good. Yep.
Impressive.
Yep, I saw all the fights. Yep. He has. Was that for the belt? Doesn't he hold the belt, or was that just amateur? No, that was his debut.
No, he had the amateur
belt.
That's
right.
And now that was his pro debut.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot. But yeah, I was impressed. I was like, yep. Very
his
good.
Next fight, he fights one of Jens Pulver's guys. One of his corners he's fighting. Who's supposed to be a real good wrestler. He's like 2-0 pro. So, from Missouri or something?
Oh.
North Carolina, I don't remember. His next
you guys got a contract
fight.
On him?
We have
is he contracted?
Deal with him. With Alex.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so he'll be the next, I think, four. Four fights for sure he'll be here. So, and he set his up so he gets win bonuses, or he gets finish bonuses, so he's a smart kid. Anytime he finishes, he gets extra money. That was smart because he got extra money last night.
Yep.
He deserved it.
I like that.
He fought such a smart game. He was so good at just keeping control of position before worrying about any sort of damage, and it really paid off.
Yeah, from up above,
if he could wrestle, he would be a monster. If he could just wrestle, he would be seriously scary at that weight. But he can't wrestle.
Wow, dude, I guess just now at Deep Jewels, one of the judges got in an argument with the other two judges about how they scored a fight.
Wow. In front of people?
Yeah, like it's a cage side, bro. Well, ringside.
Wow.
What?
Well, sometimes it's hard to keep your tongue. There's been times where I was judging where I was looking around going, are you guys on crack?
So let's talk about Nick Ryan and Victor Barajas.
Yeah.
That fight kind of went according to plan, I thought. A lot of top control from Nick, then a finish.
Yeah.
Does Victor ever get excited, Jeff?
He used to be totally different, man. I don't know if it's like I wonder whether he really wants to do it anymore because he just wasn't. He didn't look excited, and he used to be different. He used to come out a lot more excited, never like a crazy person, like never like flat top screaming and going crazy, but he looked a lot more aggressive before when he would come out, a lot more fired up, and he just looks disinterested and just kind of comes off as lazy almost, although I know he's not. He comes off as lazy, and I think he has a hard time finding enough time to train to really put the time in. He does the best that he can. He's in there every day, but it's probably not the amount of time that would be ideal. He's got a wife and kids, and he works a hard job. He's a farmer, so he's a cow farmer, so he's with cows from like 3 a.m. on, and then try to fit in the gym and kid and life. It's got to be very difficult. That's not an easy job. Hard to get up at 3 a.m. and go milk a cow every day. So that's a few hundred.
Yep.
So he just doesn't seem to be into it. But that was a very tough fight. That was, I mean, Nick Ryan, he's tough. He's only lost one guy before. That's Drew Brokenshire. He's no slouch, so.
No, that was a good fight, too, Drew's fight.
Yeah, we're definitely getting to that fight.
That was pretty technical. And he didn't rush into to finish him either, you know. It's like he knew he had him.
He's really good at sticking to a game plan.
Yeah.
He's like, he just doesn't get caught up in the excitement and not listen anymore. He seems to listen to his corner the whole time and right away when they say to do something, and he sticks to the plan. The other guys are just watching. Their corner's yelling at him to do something, and they're just, like, they don't even hear him. They just keep on doing their thing, and they end up a lot of times paying for it. They tell him to stand up, get out of there, stand up, step away, and they keep on staying in the guard, and they're open guard, and then they get caught, and... sub. People got to listen to their corner. So many times I've seen guys win because they listened to the corner that would not have won. And I've seen guys lose that didn't listen to their corner that would have won if they would have listened. I've seen it so many times. You get in a bad spot, let your corner get you out of a bad spot. Rob, there's another caller that pressed one. And Rob's gone talking to that caller. I don't know the number. But probably someone to call and yell at us. That probably made somebody mad. So when does Chris come back?
Yo, I'm interrupting. I'm bringing some heavy hitter with me. Co-main event, Victor, Matt, the Attack Kovac is now on the Sunday Night MMA Breakdown.
Yeah! Right.
What's
on.
Going on,
Bad
fellas?
Right there.
How are you
I just saw
today,
that
Matt?
I saw that the show was on, man. I thought I'd call in and say what's happening.
What was the bigger for you? Your win last night or watching the Seahawks come from 21-0 to lay the smackdown?
Dude, I got to say I think everybody expected the Seahawks to win, so I got to say my victory last night I think was a little better.
Hell yeah, man.
What's that?
Hey, congratulations.
Oh, thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Was there anything in the fight?
You got a hangover? You got a fight hangover?
Man, I got to tell you, man, I'm still aching. I'm still sore. He still kicks like a mule, man. You know, if I'm in that good of shape at 51, then I'll be happy. I'll tell you that much.
There was so much chatter from outside the cage during your fight, man.
Everybody wanted me to stand in front of him, and I tried. You know, I hit him with some hard shots, and I couldn't sit and absorb those kicks all night long. I've never been kicked that hard before. I got to give him props for that.
Yeah, we could hear it from the stand.
I'll give it to him. I mean, you know, I've only been hurt in a couple of my fights. I mean, really wobbled. I mean, he kicked me through my gloves and wobbled me. I mean, he put me on Queer Street through my hands. So,
holy crap!
Yeah, he wobbled me. I think it was in the second round where, he hit me with a head kick that kind of grazed off my gloves and really surprised me. I thought he was going low, and he went high, and so I threw some shots and got a takedown, but I was in trouble for a minute there.
Did he hit the hardest out of anybody you fought?
What's that?
Is he the hardest hitter out of anyone you've ever fought?
Definitely by far the hardest kicks I've ever felt in my career, yeah.
Any fight in your life, Matt, ever give you a better feeling after being victorious?
No. dude, fighting him was such an honor and a privilege, and just, you know, being able to go against a guy who was one of the pioneers and one of the first guys to ever be able to, you know, defeat a wrestler, a pure wrestler with, you know, pure striking and takedown defense. I mean, it was just an honor to get in there and go head up with him.
Was that also maybe the hardest fight for you to get ready for, like with the fact, you know, I mean, with the prestige or the aura that kind of maybe Maurice carries around with him?
It really was, because, you know, I pride myself on my striking, and I like to consider myself a stand-up fighter, but this is one of the fights where I wasn't going to beat him in a technical striking game. I mean, I technically just wasn't at the level that he's at, and I had to stay in his face and brawl with him the whole time. And, you know, it's different. It's different training for a guy like that, where I can't go to my strength. I actually had to go to my weakness. I had to depend on my wrestling, which, you know, is definitely not where I want it to be. And, you know, fortunately I was able to use it, and it worked out. But yeah, it was totally reverse training for me, for sure.
Would you maybe think that this fight you had the most growth in your career, with the ability to recognize that you weren't going to be able to rely on your strength and to focus on that weakness and still be able to implement your game plan and win?
It really was. I really feel like I'm able to grow in these fights, where I fight against these guys that are on an equal playing ground in the grappling aspect. You know, when I'm going against these all world wrestlers, you know, that just want to put me on my back from bell to bell, you know, I'm constantly on the defensive. But with these strikers, I'm able to go on a, you know, kind of an offensive ground attack, and yeah, I think I'm able to build a little confidence in my ground game, which I think I was able to do, and show people that I can actually, you know, take a fight to the ground and win and cause damage. And, you know, I mean, Maurice has never been stopped before, and I was really close in the second round to getting the fight stopped. You know, I had him pinned, and I was landing a lot of unanswered shots, but, I mean, he's a tough, tough guy, and he took my shots, you know, and he survived it.
Really close to stopped. Really close.
Very close. I was hoping for the stoppage.
Matt, do you think a lot of his ability to survive is that he knows how to maybe take some of those shots and limit the damage?
He, you know, I'll tell you this much. I mean, the guy not only has a great chin. I hit him with probably one of my best left hooks I've landed in a long time in the first round. He stays composed even when he's hurt. The guy, you know, the guy probably has a heart rate of like 30. I mean, the guy doesn't get excited. He never panics. I mean, he just stayed composed even in the worst position with me on top of him, dropping bombs on him. He never wavered. He's a veteran. I mean, like my coach said, you know, I wasn't going to show him anything that he hadn't seen before. I mean, there was no place that I was going to put him in that cage that he hadn't already experienced. And, you know, I got him down there, and I was dropping bombs, and he covered up and he protected, and he was able to weather through it. I mean, I have nothing but absolute respect for that guy.
He's no joke on the ground either. He's got a ground game for sure. So it was impressive that you kept him there, because he's no joke. I've seen him at Ivan's a lot of times, and every time I see him there, he's rolling. He's not boxing, he's rolling. So he's serious. He did great.
He was. You know, he was looking for the sweeps. You know, he was trying to ankle pick. He was definitely active down there. I just, you know, I got to credit, you know, working with Randy Davidson up there at AKA, I mean, and helping me, you know, have heavy hips and just staying on top of him. I mean, that's what really was able for me to keep control.
It's a huge thing for your game, man. In the future, I mean, you've been able to get somebody down and stay on top and keep their hips back so they can't get to the cage and stand up. That's huge for you. Huge. Because you're on top on the ground. I don't think you've lost in that point, have you? Are you 2-0 now?
I've, I've always said if I could get the guy on the ground and get top control, I've always been able to impose my will. It's just, you know, me improving off my back that I really got to focus on.
Yeah. Well, great. So you got another fight coming?
You know, I'm hearing something about January, you know, maybe at the Everett Event Center, maybe getting on that card. You know, I'm definitely excited considering that, you know, that's my hometown. I'd love to be a part of that. You know, I gotta see what happens. I'm excited. I'm injury free, you know, I'm ready to go, you know.
There's no maybe, dude. If you want to fight, you're fighting. There's no maybe.
That's right. Well, then sign them up and bring them, because you know I'm not going to turn down any fight. You know, the fights aren't going to get any easier, and I welcome all comers. You know how I've done my career, you know, and I'm a gamer. If they want to put anybody in there, I'm ready to go.
That's what I told them last night on the commentary team. I told them that I said that Matt Kovacs has his record because he's the kind of guy that you could walk up to him and say, hey. Brock Lesnar's his opponent just dropped out. His fight starts in 20 minutes. Can you do it? Matt would say, let me go put my shorts on. And he'd go and get changed, and
that's
he'd go
right.
fight Brock Lesnar in 20 minutes' notice. So
that's
how
right.
that is. So. Anybody, anytime, any place. Unfortunately,
that's
any
right.
place
and,
a problem sometimes, but now it's all good.
and some people, you know, some people will call that reckless. And, you know, you look at my record, and I know it's not the prettiest thing to look at, but, you know, and people will say I've been reckless with my career, but in a way, you know, I take pride in it and knowing that, you know, the guys that have beat me have gone on, you know, to achieve, you know, great things. And I know that I'm not losing to any slouches and that, you know, I would rematch any one of my opponents that have beat me anytime, anywhere, any day. That's just how I am. So.
No doubt.
I think I'd like to see you and Mike Hayes, kind of.
Again? There's already been two of them.
We've already fought twice. You know, I got to say, you know, I still think I won the first fight at Strikeforce. You know, they gave him the decision. You know, I don't agree with it. You know, the second time I was, you know, I was doing a great job in that fight. It was really very similar to Maurice. I was taking him down in every round and getting the ground and pound going. I made a mistake and I got choked, but you know, I would definitely do it again, you know, but I like Mike. He's definitely improved. He had a huge win. I mean, getting a stoppage over, you know, a guy like Jeff Munson. I mean, that was really impressive and doing it with a high kick. I mean, you know, he's a great guy, but, you know, definitely, if people wanted to see it and they wanted to see it again, I would, you know, I'm there. Sign me up. Let's do it.
Hey, Matt, I want to ask you a question a little bit different. Tell Rob about what J.J. Lopez is like. J.J. Lopez is coming back, got his next pro fight in December, then he's going to fight for us in January. Tell him about
J.J.
How's J.J.
Beast, man. J.J. is a beast. He's... Guys his size aren't supposed to hit as hard as they do. I mean, that guy is just 100% pure talent. I mean, he has power in both hands. He's got stamina for days. You know, the best fight I've ever seen with him. I mean, you look back at an amateur title fight he had with Eddie Dolan. You know,
yep.
A real tough, buff, you know, wrestler that was dominating everybody. He thought he was just going to walk over JJ, and I mean, and JJ just put it on him for five rounds and, you know, almost got the stoppage at the end of the fifth and just, you know, JJ is somebody, he's really soft-spoken, you know, nobody really sees him coming, but he, I mean, if that guy actually just focused and stayed in the gym and trained hard. I mean, he could definitely go. I mean, the sky's the limit for that guy.
Yeah. Trying to get Rob excited about him because he's never seen him. He just hears me talking about him. So I run my mouth all the time. I thought if somebody else did, maybe it would mean something to him.
Oh, he's definitely the right horse to bet on. You know, so I know he's been back in the gym and I know he's got a fight coming up and I'm excited to watch.
Yeah.
there watching him for sure.
Yeah, he'll be on Cage Sport, and he'll be on Cage Warrior Combat, so
awesome.
Good.
Awesome.
Matt, what was the first thing Landon said to you after the decision was announced, after the fight?
He looked at me and he just said, I don't think you realize what you've done. And I mean, it still really hasn't set in. I mean, I was able to pull off a win and just in the fashion that I was able to do it, it just kind of rejuvenated my career. It was a big victory that I needed. I know I've won 3 out of my last 4 fights, but it was a big win that I needed. It was a good feather to put in the hat, he just said he was proud of me. I listened to him. I have to give him all the props in the world because he coached me. He coached me through that, and he was telling me from step by step when I had him on the ground what to do, where to control him, the shots to land, and he just said, you beat a legend and a tough guy. I mean, I can't give Maurice enough props. I mean, for his age, I mean, people just hear, oh, he's 51. It's just like that guy could easily still put guys down half his age, easily, without a doubt. He could go right now and beat some of the local heavyweights, without a doubt.
Oh, yeah. He's coming off a win. He was coming into this fight on a win against a pretty tough guy that he put down in the second. I think he put that guy down in the second round last year out in Vermont. I can't remember off the top of my head, but I'm pretty sure it was.
He breaks guys down, and he wanted to break me down. I my whole game plan was to get my shots off first and not let him get comfortable and get in a rhythm, because if I stayed in front of him and fought the usual fight that I fight, he would have broke me down with those leg kicks. I guarantee it. So, really the mobility and staying out of his reach and just going in and out, when I'm in, throwing combinations. When I'm out, I'm all the way out. And that's really, I just didn't stay in front of him. Had I stayed in front of him, those head kicks, I mean, like, they were monstrous, man. I mean, they were the toughest kicks I've ever experienced.
How hard was it for you, Matt, to keep telling yourself, don't just sit here and exchange with him? Because I know that you had to want to find out. Like, a part of you, I know the kind of guy you are. You like testing yourself and guys like that, But
I wanted to, man. I wanted to do it. And, listening to people in the crowd and, you just can't make everybody happy. And people in the crowd probably didn't like the pace that we set. And, it wasn't the most action-packed fight because there were moments in that fight where I had to move around, but I mean, there were also moments when I came inside and threw some good shots inside and landed him and hurt him. I landed a good left hook, put him up in the cage and I also got him down a few times and tried to finish on the ground. But, I mean, I had to do everything in my power to not go flat footed and just dropping bombs because I've done that before, and I've gotten reckless. A great example, Richard Foster was a great example in Cage Sport. He's undefeated, and I was, putting a good beating on him, and I wanted to be exciting, and I wanted to jump over his guard, and all it got me was an elbow to the face and 8 stitches over my eye and ended up getting me choked out in the long run. So I stayed composed and I thought I had to get the win by any means necessary.
And he did that, man. It was a fantastic performance, Matt. It was awesome, buddy.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
I would have expected you to do, Matt. I would have thought you'd have just sat in the pocket and bombs away, and I thought that was probably going to be your demise. And man, you did follow the plan, man. That's so cool. I love it.
That was a good game plan.
Yeah, sure. I'm trying to evolve. I just know that I've been very one-dimensional for the majority of my career, and I need to evolve. In this sport, It's just you evolve or you get left behind. And so, you know, I just tried to show people that, you know, I have other dimensions to my game.
You're nowhere near too old. You still got plenty of time left. So
absolutely. I mean, if Maurice can do it at 51, I have no excuses why I can't do it at 32.
For sure. That's good. Those are good fighting years. Like 28 to 35 is the best fighting years. So
absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I'm hearing some rumors about me maybe getting involved in a Japanese show coming up pretty soon too. So I'm excited about that also. Maybe taking my show overseas.
Hell yeah, man. That would be great.
I'll bet.
I think you'd really like the Japanese women, man.
Oh yeah.
You got a good one now.
I don't know. I don't know how the Japanese jails are over there. I don't know, really want to find out, but you know, over there, I, you know me. If you cut me loose on that town for too long, I might have to find out. I'm not sure.
I'm sure you would. I'm definitely. No one should let you out of their sight there.
I think we'll have to make sure we'll have to send Landon with you to make sure that you don't experience that.
Yeah, Landon's just as bad as me. Don't make no mistake about it, you know.
Don't send him to Asia with Landon. That's not a good thing.
You'll have a better chance with him on the mats if you say that than if I said that. I might get manhandled by Landon. You actually have a chance.
That's right, yeah. Well, I got to give props to him, you know. Getting kicked by Landon, you know, taking those leg kicks for the last 8 years definitely got me ready for Maurice.
It sucks. It fucking sucks.
Do you think this is the performance you've ever given as your head coach?
What was that?
Was this the performance you've ever given Landon him as your head coach?
you're breaking up, man. I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
He wanted to know if that was the best
That's
game
the
plan.
Best performance you've ever given with Landon, you know, to Landon with him being your head coach.
This game plan, was it the best game plan that he gave me?
Rob, you're breaking up bad.
Everybody's breaking up bad. Kovacs just went completely crazy. I can't hear
you. Yeah, you guys, I can hear you somewhat.
There you are.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
Okay.
Yep.
One more time. What was that you guys said?
Rob? I'm just going to guess that he said something totally different than what you think. Can you hear me, Matt?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, I think that he was asking you, what's the is that the hardest that you've been kicked except for besides your head coach?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I gave Landon props. I told him, hey, You're the second hardest kicker I've ever experienced now compared to Maurice. So Landon was happy to be the runner up on that list.
I bet. Yeah, his kicks are wicked. Landon's no joke. Even at what is he, 45 now?
Landon?
Yeah, he's 45, right?
Yeah, he's only 34.
Yeah, I know. I just like to give him a hard time because, you know, he could give me a little bit of a hard time.
He talks like he's 45, but make no mistake about it, he's, you know, he's toying with the idea of coming out of retirement too. So not to get the rumor mill started, but he's got a couple guys in his sights. You know, he might be stepping back in the cage soon also.
Well, he knows that he's all he has to do is say the word.
That's right.
Right. He's 37, so, but yeah.
He's feeling the itch. I can tell you that right now. So
I'm sure all these pro shows, like seeing all these guys having fun again. He's like, oh man, I need me some of this. He's a reason. He doesn't like being chubby. You know, he needs a reason to not be chubby. He's got to have a reason to train, or he just likes to eat, drink beer, and be landed.
Hey, I love it when he's chubby because he's the best heavyweight partner I asked for. So
I tried to convince him he should come back as a heavyweight. You should be a heavyweight, dude. You could beat a lot of these heavyweights.
I think he should come back as a 205er. He'd be all right. He'd do okay.
He would. He'd be hitting hard.
I hope he fights again. You know, just because the last couple times he fought, you know, he fought injured, and you know, he was duct taping his knee for for, you know, Shoni Carter, and that was supposed to be his last hurrah, but, you know, he took that fight injured. I would love to see him get back in there one more time.
Matt, would you want to watch that, or would you want to be on the same card as that?
I'd want to be on the same card as that. I've always wanted to be on the same card as Landon. I've never had the opportunity.
Well, get him to do it, and then guarantee you're doing it too.
Absolutely. I was supposed to be on a card, you know, at the Tulalip Casino about 5 years ago. I was supposed to go against Ernest Henderson, the big old 500-pounder. I think he lost a bunch of weight, so, you know, he's about 280 now. But I think he was fighting – he was supposed to fight Rich Gearin, I think. It was a long time ago, but the event never happened, though. I think they were asking too much money for tickets.
Yep. Not a very good venue either, but, yeah.
We'll see. I'll stay in his ear. I'll talk him out of retirement if it's up to me.
I'll do my part.
Matt,
absolutely.
As a fighter last night, what did you think about fighting at midnight?
You know, when you got a card with 14 pros, you kind of – I thought the event should have been, you know, started a little sooner. You know, I understand when you got 14 fights and it's an amateur show, you know, these guys are going to go for the gusto. They're new. You know, a lot of these fights end in the first round. And, you know, when you have pros and established pros and a stacked card like you did last night, I mean, I think that you have to kind of anticipate that these guys are at least going to go two rounds apiece. So, I mean, if you go two rounds apiece and you got 14 fights, you know, that's 140 minutes, you know, without intermission. I mean, that's a lot of time, you know. So right there, that's, you know, 2.5 hours almost. So that's if everybody goes two rounds. So, I mean, I think it should have been started a little sooner. I was ready to go home and go to bed and just have them call me when my fight was up and I would have came back.
This next time, Tom, you need a cot in your warm-up area or a hammock.
Hey, Jeff Monson was sleeping good, man. He was all curled up. He had a sleeping bag back there. I mean, he looked comfy, man. It was kind of almost a tragedy that somebody had to wake him up and have him go out there and get head kicked by Mike Hayes.
Mike looked good. He looked good.
Absolutely. Mike looked good. He's, you know, he told me he's healed up. You know, his shoulder, you know, it sounded like he's been fighting with a bad shoulder his last 3-4 fights, and he wasn't able to throw any hooks. You know, I watched the Arlovsky fight, and I mean, if that's the case, I mean, he put on a hell of a show with one arm against Arlovsky. So the fact that he was able to throw punches with both arms and stop Snowman, I mean, he's only been stopped at 3 or 4 times in his career. Yeah, that's a huge win. That's a great, great fight for Mike.
Yeah. He needed it.
Yeah.
Not four,
they were both, well, they were both coming off four wins or four losses apiece.
Now, he's supposed to fight in next weekend, right?
Who's that?
Is he still fighting next weekend, Rob Martin?
I think he fights the 9th in Hawaii.
Fought in Russia a week ago.
Yeah, then he fights again like next week in Hawaii.
Yeah, that guy, he stays busy. I'll give him that.
Next week, Matt, will be like his fourth fight with a top 50 heavyweight in 5 weeks.
Yeah.
Hey, I mean, the guy... You know, the guy, he's fought everybody. I mean, I guess if you're looking to make a name, he's the perfect guy to get in there with. I'll give him that, you know. So he's been in there with Fedor. He's been in there with, you know, Pedro Hizo. He's been in there with everybody. I mean, he's the man, you know. He's that guy that you definitely want to get on your list of victims. And so probably, it's got to be tough considering he's taken all these catchweight fights too. You know, I mean, that fight with Mike Hayes was at 215.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He came into town 30 pounds heavier than that. 2 days before.
And that's crazy. You know, he's taking these fights a week at a time, and he's cutting weight. That's the huge thing. I mean, the guy's got to, you know, it's got to take a hit on his endurance. You know, if anything, you know, jumping up and down and cutting weight.
I'm pretty sure he's going to miss this payday.
That's right.
What do you think of the Houston Alexander Benji Raddick fight?
That's interesting. You know, I saw Benji at the fights last night, and you know, he looked good. I mean, he looked like he was healthy again. And Benji hits like a ton of bricks, man. You know, Houston Alexander. I mean, I don't know. I've never really been impressed with him. He's just kind of, to me, been a kind of like a glamorized brawler. You know, definitely disappointed me watching that whole Kimbo fight with him and him just failing to really do anything. I thought that he should have just destroyed Kimbo, but I would pick Benji. I think Benji will knock him out.
Will we see a Matt Kovac submission victory in your future?
You know, I'm going to work on it. I told Landon I'm going to put the gi on, and I'm gonna get back in there and get in the jiu-jitsu classes. And you know, I think that's next on my bucket list. Is I think I got to choke somebody out, and I just feel sorry for the person I finally get a choke on, because I'm probably gonna choke them unconscious. I'm probably not gonna let go of it. So
I'm gonna make you let go.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, if Jeff tries to make you let go, Matt, there's 50 in it if you just slap one on him.
All right, that's 50 in the bank. I'm just gonna let go, and I'm gonna act like I'm getting up, and then I'm just gonna jump on Jeff's back. So you heard it here first.
Try to choke me out before you can do it. You're not gonna do it now. I mean, oh man.
Well, my phone's about to die, fellas. I apologize. You know, I just wanted to call in and show my support for the show. I appreciate you guys having me.
Oh, thanks for calling, Matt.
And look forward to me in the future. You know, I got another. You know, hopefully I get something else lined up, and I'm just going to continue to keep shocking the world, I guess, huh?
All right.
Yep. I'll work on stuff tomorrow.
All right. Well, thanks, fellas. I appreciate you having me. It's been a pleasure.
Hey, Matt, congratulations, brother.
All right, thank you. Thanks again.
Everybody, that was Matt the Attack Kovacs, fresh off his victory over Maurice the Legend Smith. So does that officially make Matt Kovacs a legend killer?
The legend killer. Yeah, and in the process of it, he's his own legend. His legend grows by kicking out a legend. It's such a huge win, if you think about it. That's such a, I mean, you saw Tapology, and Tapology along with everywhere else thought there was pretty much not a chance in hell Matt was going to win.
You know, that was a good game plan. I don't think I've ever seen Kovacs move around that much. There was a lot of respect shown there.
That's the difference between, you know, that's kind of like an example of how important it is to listen to your corner. Just follow the game plan and listen to the guys that are there to help you, and it just makes a world of difference. He just did it. He's beat a legend. Because he's got all the skills. Sometimes people just have to help you put them together, right?
Well, that just goes back to what I've always said about Landon in the corner, too, Jeff. How many times have I told you that?
Yep. Exactly. Exactly right. Yep. He's a great corner. He knows what he's doing. He's been there, done that. You're not going to be in any position that he hasn't been in before, so he can talk you out of anything or help you get through it alive. So he's a great coach. He was my coach, obviously. Yeah.
I know. I wonder if he could tell us why you weren't undefeated.
Oh,
you didn't listen.
Tell you that.
You didn't like to listen. You didn't like to listen, did you?
No. Oh, of course I don't like to listen. Oh, I listened. I mean, haven't we met in person? Not exactly. Gifted. I was a meathead I was a powerlifter for a long time. I started fighting at 34, dude. What did I think I was going to be, the next UFC star? I knew I was good. I just wanted to punch someone in the face and have fun, so That's why. I probably didn't take it serious enough. And I'm too old. He'll just say he's fucking old. He was old when he got here. He's old when he left.
Hey, Rob.
James.
Hello?
James.
Have you ever seen Jeff rip a phone book in half?
No. I think that's a rumor.
No, it's not. I seen it. At the weigh-ins at one of the act shows, I had heard rumors that, you know, Jeff could rip a phone book. So I told Chris's wife, and of course, she's like, so uninhibited. Jeff, can you rip a phone book in half? Yeah. So she goes and grabs the phone book, and he starts to rip it.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what the? You remember that?
Remember that. Yeah. Yeah, it was at the bar. Was it a weigh-in? We're at the bar at the street.
Yep. And I was like, kind of getting on Katie's case because I was like, Katie, you can't just call him out like that. That's rude.
How thick was the phone book? I mean, are we talking about like a phone book from like a one stoplight town or?
But you
no, it
LA
was like,
you can
it was like 3 inches thick.
It was like a King County phone book?
Yeah.
It was a 3-inch thick phone book.
Yeah, whatever county you want.
Just like whatever county you want.
He just started ripping it. I was like, are you kidding me?
And not one page at a time, Rob.
No, Rob. I was like, wow. That's nuts. What fight are you going to be up there next, Rob?
Rob's not going to believe it until he sees it.
Cave Sport will be my next trip up.
When's that? December 7th?
Yep.
It's a long break.
Wow, that is. We're taking a fight break after the 23rd of November.
I had to work yesterday, then I got to work tonight, then I got to work the 23rd because one of my clients is having a grand opening. So I got to be down in Eugene for that. Or I was thinking about coming up to Northwest Challenge, NWFC or NWC. What's that one Brian Jones does?
Yeah, that's the 23rd.
Northwest Fight Challenge on the 23rd.
Yeah, that's a good little card.
Yeah, he does a great job.
I need him to get me the card.
Okay.
I need that fight
we'll
card.
We'll be looking forward to seeing you there.
Are you
bring
part,
up,
are
bring
you putting
up
that show on, James?
For Jeff.
Are you putting
me?
That show
no.
on, James?
No. No. But Steven's fighting on that card, one of our guys.
Steven? Which Steven?
Steven
Peterson.
He's the one that,
He's
the 135er.
He fought at Primal, right?
Yes.
Yep.
Brad Poole's show?
Yep. He also fought at Eddie's show.
Oh, yeah, he did fight at Eddie's show.
Yeah, he fought
won.
Eddie's guy. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's
so
the guy
fighting,
that fought Robert Armas, right?
Armas.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a good fight.
He's fighting. Guess who he's fighting, Rob? He's fighting one of Proctor's guys. Fighting Proctor's main guy. Proctor's little main crony.
Hey, dude, it's going to be a tough fight.
It's a very tough fight.
It's going to be a tough fight for Steven.
He's the toughest guy in the
world. We're going to get Steven ready. It's going to be a good fight for Steven.
Do you think there's somebody tough right back, Jim? And David? I don't think so. There is.
Then
yeah,
David, what?
Aren't there just two fighters?
I guess there's a
coach is not fighting.
I think there's a couple of them out there. Don't they got a 205er? They got a 205er that would like to match up with theirs.
They got a 205er?
I thought they did. I don't know. We'll find out if they do or not. I got a 205er that would like to match up with his 205er.
Drew would probably like to match up with anybody there.
Yeah.
Who from Proctor's gym could I let Jordan Hyatt fight?
Well, they don't have anybody. I think they have, his name? Steve Simpson, who's a pro, and they have David Gines, who's an amateur. And that's all that I'm aware of.
Yeah, everybody else is lower weight. I thought they had the 205er, though, but I guess not. Hey,
Brew was
Steve's
a 205er. The Phenom.
Steve is dropping down to 170, I heard, to fight Nick Coffrin.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I don't know.
Isn't Nick making his pro debut at Cage Sport?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Against him.
Yes.
Against Steve Simpson.
That's a rumor. That's a rumor, anyways.
Rumor?
Well.
No, I mean, that's pretty, that was set, right?
Yeah, I'm waiting for Eddie to get on.
I think he's already talked about it.
Yeah.
I heard, like, one thing from Eddie, and it wasn't about fighting today.
Wow,
I think he was just in shock. I think he was just too upset to want to talk about it.
We'll have a no contest, I'm sure, but all he says is the referee stands, I made a mistake, and that's it. And he says he made a mistake, so he felt horrible, and he'll want it fixed. Everybody wants it fixed, silly fix.
So what exactly happens? What exactly happens in that the referee has to file a reversal or something for a no contest?
Well, with the state, you have to go and you'd have to go to contest it or say, I need my decision overturned.
Right.
With the influence with the state, so it's pretty. It's just a process there. You can even do it on the website, I think. You can click on file a complaint, I think, and you can do it that way. But, yeah, man, just take a look at it and talk to people involved. You go straight to investigations. They look at it, talk to people involved, and make a determination, and that's it. But you get a chance to tell them why and what, and look at that. They talk to everybody. And but in this case, it's just cut and dry. It wasn't as it appeared.
Right.
Loves that, do a couple things different just for as insurance, but he didn't do anything wrong. And then the referee said he made a mistake. It's a bummer. The whole time I said, I was like, damn, I'm so glad I'm not reffing tonight. The pressure last night would have been brutal. Because, for one, I was going so slow. And then the fights that were happening were all, like, intense fights. A lot of you know, the legends. It's such a stacked card that it was really rough.
For sure.
It's like having, like, 10 main events in 14 fights. A lot of those guys would have been a main event on any other card anywhere.
Definitely.
I don't even know how far down the list you'd go before you'd still be at main event fighters.
So, Jeff, were you sitting at the Kovacs' corner right next to it?
No, I was the corner to the left of that, closer to you.
Oh, close to
us. Barely a corner. Yeah.
So you,
if there was
okay,
a corner,
so during the Theo Wolf, Gary Davis. Oh, okay.
I was in a suit sitting at the end. That's why you didn't see me. I was wearing a suit.
Okay.
You didn't think it was me.
That's probably why. I was like, where is he?
Brother.
The Theo Wolf, Amy Davis fight.
Uh-huh.
That was my favorite fight of the night.
Was that Thea's mom that was holding up the sign and screaming?
Yeah.
And stomping on the stomping her feet?
Yep. That was
That's awesome. That
yeah,
was awesome.
She got a lot of support, man. The place went crazy.
Heck
and
yeah.
Rob's seen her fight now twice, and he loves her fighting. I mean, that was awesome, huh?
Yes, it was.
I just think she just reminds me of, like, Thea Wolf is, like, somebody that should have been fighting, like, 12 years ago.
Yeah.
Her, Matt Kovacs.
Matt Kovacs probably was.
Yeah, Matt.
Well, yeah.
Dude, I remember watching
that, like,
fight.
Back when it was like when people fought because they were fighters. Like, she has that fighter mentality, you know?
Oh, yeah. When I asked her about the fight, she said she's number 9 in the world. And she said, I got to tell you, it don't matter. Anywhere she wants to go, I can beat her everywhere. Dang, I love that.
I think she works the clinch really good, man, and she defended the judo throws great. I mean, she got caught in that first one, but, I mean, I think probably anybody would have got caught by that one.
Yeah, that was a pretty hip toss.
They were right above me most of the fight, and it seemed to me like
maybe the strength was a factor for sure. She didn't seem as strong as the other girl was able to, like, pick her up and move her, where it didn't seem like she had as much control. She couldn't really pick the girl up and chuck her around like what's happening to her. She's so tough. Gosh.
Yep.
I think Aaliyah needs a 95-pound weight class. I mean, to be quite honest.
Yeah, she's small. But she does have to cut to make weight. So I don't know if she'd want to go smaller because she's, I mean, that weigh-in, she looked pretty, she was really cut. She was way sucked dry, so she'd probably be a 95 stretch, 10 more pounds.
That was a good, that was a pretty good fight.
That'd be like watching little kids fight, though, 95 pounds. That's a small fighter.
Well, dude, just imagine, dude, we're about to get some 115ers here in the Pacific Northwest. Guys,
what?
There's about to be some 115 fights going down here.
Really?
Wow. That's true. Amy Cadwell's fighting, what's her girl's name?
No, I'm talking about guy fights, bro, not chick fights.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
115.
What is that?
That's so, where are we going to find them?
They're everywhere. They're everywhere.
They just don't fight because there's no one to fight?
Like Chris Wheaton could be a 115er.
Yeah, he walked in at 123. His walk-around weight. That's how he showed up to weigh-in. I mean, look how huge he looked. He looked way bigger than Alex.
I really think that is what holds Chris Wheaton back, man. Like, I almost wish that a part of him would just be like, look, I'm just going to start walking around at 133. I just put on 10 pounds of muscle.
I think he's tried. I think he just stays the same no matter what he eats and stuff. Nope.
I think you're never going to believe this.
He's pretty busy. He's got his stuff.
You're never going to believe this. So, never mind.
You can't do that to us. That ain't fair. Come on.
What, Skippy? Come on.
I wanted to see if I could pull a Skippy tonight.
Yeah. You won't believe what I just found out. Oh, my gosh. This is life-changing. This is unbelievable. People are going to flip. But I can't tell you about it. Fucker. How many times has he done that, Rob? 100?
He does that all the time. He just did that, like, the other day to me. Oh, man. And then he vanished for like 4 hours, and I was like, you're a real pile of crap.
And then when he tells you, are you sometimes disappointed? Are you like, what?
Yeah. Oh, no. Like, the best one was last weekend when he thought he was going to be, like, all awesome. And so then he was all, remember, he was telling us, this will ruin your guys' life. This will ruin your guys' life. This will
that
ruin your
awesome.
Guys' life. And then I ruined his life.
It was so it was like an epic moment in Madhouse Radio little Four Horsemen history. That was awesome. He thought that he was telling us something, James, and then Rob told us before that he could tell us. So it was like he just
was that the one that was on
Facebook? Room.
Yep.
The what?
Yeah, I think I saw that on Facebook.
That was awesome. Yeah, Rob got a lot of cool points there for me. It's never happened before. I don't know how I feel about it.
Hey, so
what did you guys think about Sterling Ford at 145? I thought he actually
horrible.
Looked worse at 145 than he does at 155.
Looks fucking horrible.
Physically,
don't snap in his punches. Horrible.
Well, was that his first time at 145?
Yes.
Well, you know how everybody has opinions and everything, but to me, if he's been fighting at 55, the first fight that he's going to take at 45, especially against Oakenshire, is going to be a hard one to have the body get used to that. But, you know, what do I know? I don't know anything.
he was at weight noon the day of weigh-ins, so he's not staying very heavy above 45. So he's staying about where he would cut to before. So he didn't have no snap in his punches at all. There was nothing on him. I think Drew could have put his hands down and said, blast me, and he wouldn't have knocked him out.
I mean, there was nothing, and it looked like he couldn't even extend all the way. It was weird. His punches looked forced. It looked like when you have one of those dreams where you're trying to hit somebody and you can't hit them, and it just like, you're swinging so hard you can't even, you don't even get, that's what it looked like. It was just, I was really shocked. Really shocked. And he got beat up. His face, at when it was time to get paid at the end of the night, I didn't know who he was until he turned all the way towards me. Because one whole half of his face does not look anything like him.
Wow.
He took it rough. He took a lot of big shots there at the very end. He was so swollen.
Yeah.
It was shocking.
That fight went right according to what I thought it would go with.
Yep.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, I really think, dude, that Drew Brokenshire is he's ready. He needs to take the next step. He just graduated last night from fighting around here. If Lee Morrison can fight in Russia, then Drew Brokenshire needs to be fighting somewhere else, because I actually want to see those two guys fight again. And if it needs to happen in Russia, I'm okay with it, because I'll illegally watch that mother.
I'd like to see Drew get a little bit more experience first before they rematch, but yeah. I think Lee still has a pretty big advantage, but who knows if Drew. He's just impressive every time, so could never. That'd be a really hard fight to take. Well, I'd pick Lee, but it'd be hard to. I like them both a lot. It'd be hard to see one of them lose. So who around here besides that is going to give him any trouble? I don't think anybody.
Unless he's going to fight Daniel Swain. But Swain's trying to make that move to 135 now.
I'd like to see that fight. I'd love to see that fight.
But, I mean, that's really the only fight around here that, for me, makes sense for Drew.
Oh, Daniel's with World Series of Fighting now, though, isn't he?
No, he's with Legacy.
Can you fight outside of Legacy?
Hey, so how does the whole thing work now? Is he under obviously he's not under contract with Cage Sport.
Cage Sport only does one-offs. They don't really like to sign guys for long-term deals. So, like, conceivably, Drew could fight there again. I mean, he's got a year to defend his title, right, Jeff?
Yeah.
So, I mean, once he's got three more fights with Cage Warrior Combat, or two more, did you guys do a 3 or 4 fight deal with him?
I'm not sure, but I know that he's already been offered one for January 25th, so he's going to meet with his coach today and tell us tomorrow.
Well, I think, I mean, whoever it is, you need to bring somebody in from the outside world.
Yep, you're right. I'm sure it will be. Maybe this week we'll find out.
So,
you think so?
The next Cage Warrior Combat fight is what, on the 16th? It's in a couple weeks.
There's two small shows before the big one. There's November 16th at the Point Casino in Kingston, Washington, and then same place, December 14th. And those, as of now, are the last two shows at the Point Casino. The contract will be over.
That's it.
And I don't have to take a ferry anymore.
Which is all Jeff cares about.
No, but I mean, it's just a tough venue, man. It's tough there.
It is.
It's hard enough to get people to go to fights when you got to convince them that they should spend an extra $80 in ferry and more of their day to go. It's a hard sell.
And the drive for those that live out where I'm at, it's a long drive.
Well, like 60 miles, it's not like you're 70 miles an hour. Rob goes like 400 miles.
It isn't because, you know, you got to go through the town. So you got to go through Gorsk and Bremerton. And
it takes you an hour and a half or so, right?
Yeah.
What's it take you, Rob? Take you 5 hours, Rob? Four?
Four and a half. Well, to the Kingston?
Wow.
That shit could...
Yeah.
Man, one of the first times I came back, I don't know if it was the first or second time I came back from Kingston, it took like 6 hours from the time I left the casino until I actually got back to Corvallis. I think that was the night, I remember, dude, when we missed the one ferry. Then we had to mob out all the way down to the other ferry. Then we waited there for like a half an hour. Says the ferry was late, which thank God it was late, or we'd had to fucking drive like clear down and around.
Yeah, we'd have drive to James and all the way back up. It would have been, it would have sucked. It was a rough one,
wow,
for sure. That was when I had to drive fast. Remember me?
Yeah.
And,
wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
The things I'll do to make a ferry.
So what did you guys think about the Gilbertson Soloria fight? We kind of talked about it earlier, but, I mean, did you guys like the fight?
Surprised.
Were you surprised by it?
I was surprised by it.
I liked how after the illegal knee to the head, he came out on fire. Like, he was ticked off or something. A switch was turned, and he turned it on. I was shocked.
Yeah. I think I'm going to work on it. I'm possibly a Johnny Gilbertson against Alden Lee fight now. I didn't really like that fight before, but now after this fight, I think I like it.
That
I think it's a good matchup.
25th.
Yeah, I got to see if Alden's hitting the gym right, then that'll be a cool one. If Johnny, I don't even know if Johnny's gonna what he's gonna do next. You got to find a fighting opportunity first. Oh, I might have already. Hold on. I don't know. I don't think so. Maybe. I'm confused. I think Tad might have sent him something. Let's see. There'll be more fights announced this week for 25th. And then there's the whole, that card will have the amateurs as well. So it'll be a 12 amateurs, 12 pro card. So it'll start during the daytime, obviously, because of the amateurs. And then the night time will be the pros, and there'll be a break in the middle, a little break.
And that's at the Comcast?
Yep. The Comcast Arena in Everett. It's going to be awesome. You're going to get all the best pros or the best pros that they can find, and you're going to get the best amateurs in the Northwest that feel like they can beat everybody else and have them beat each other. So, got a couple of Guma guys on there at least.
That'd be awesome.
How many are in there? What did you say?
No, no, yeah, we gotta sit down and talk.
We're actually
after the 23rd fight at Northwest Fight Scene, we're just gonna take a break from fighting till that show.
Are you guys gonna train?
Oh yeah, we'll be training. We're just taking a break from fighting.
Isn't that crazy month off shit?
Yeah, no, I actually want the guys to be able to train and be able to eat and enjoy the holidays with their families and not have to worry about what they're eating.
It's a novel idea. We'll appreciate that.
I'm a nice guy.
Yeah, you are.
And then you got the Christmas holidays, and after that they can start cutting and training for the January fight.
You, fat boys, now you got 3 weeks to lose 30 pounds. Run.
Nah, they're not that bad. They're pretty dedicated, actually.
Promise to fight at 140 1 week and fight at 165 the next week. What do you mean? Not that bad.
Dude, are you guys going to let Thomas fight at a bigger weight? That's a good question, Jeff, now that we got James here. Are you guys going to let Thomas fight at a higher weight?
We did talk about it. And
he's better.
Thomas is wondering, Thomas' big question, I hope he's listening, is wondering why does everybody think that? Then he can hear it from
did
you
he
guys.
Did he not watch his fight? Well, look at his last fight. And look at every other fight before that. There's a drastic difference.
Mm-hmm.
Drastic difference. Whether it's part mentally because he feels better being bigger, or there could be reasons mentally that make him, he didn't seem as nervous, which could just be the more experience. But you know how I feel. I'm not a huge fan, but I became closer to one after the last fight because he acted like a fighter. He fought. And I didn't think he did that in the past. He fought. So, way better, heavier. He was handled the strength fine. He looked like a better fighter. He hits hard enough. I mean, they're still going to be the same. It's not like he's going to get in at a disadvantage. And I think with the smaller guys, he's not as fast and never will be. So, play his strength.
Do you hear the story of why he went from 55 to 45?
I know it. Are you?
Did you hear? Did you hear his story of why?
Why?
Because let's see. Chris was the main event at the Rude Awakening show at the Elks Club, and Chris fought at 55 that show. You were there, Jeff. And Thomas saw him at 55. He was like, I'm going to 45. Not happening.
So Chris Hogan looks like he's an 85er. That's why he's yoked. He looks huge. Well, he looks like a 70.
Yeah.
He's big. He can scare anybody.
He's the nicest guy, though. You know that.
When's he coming back? When's he going to come back?
He was saying hopefully May, but we'll see. See what the military does.
So less than a year. That's good.
Yeah, young. And he got promoted to sergeant, so...
We're talking about a guy named Chris Hogan, Rob, who was an amateur around here, and he went in the military or needed to work, but he's really talented, real good. He was Zoe's main partner, and I thought he was better than Zoe. And I mean, they're not in the same weight classes, but as far as talent wise, I thought he was better than Zoe. And we see where Zoe is now, so I think Chris would be way up there, doing just like that kind of mark on pro fighting.
Oh yeah. Ended up at 5-0.
He's the one who obviously planned. Tyler Mason said the Absolute Chaos 3 or 2. Or no, what was it there? Yeah, and he slammed him, and I tried to post on it. And compound fracture, bone through his arm. Cut out his wrist. Tyler Maples.
That sucks.
Yeah. He did that at the Revolution, too. Got a guy in a Kimura, and the guy was trying to fight it. And I'm just telling the Chris, hold it. Don't crank it. Just hold it. And the guy tried to strong arm out of it and snapped his fibula.
Ouch.
It was like a – it looked like a Nogueras. It was nasty. It was from bottom, too. And I got him video. I was like, ugh.
Nice.
So hopefully May he'll be back. Hopefully he'll be off at least a couple weeks, and then hopefully he can get stationed at JBOM. Yeah. But that's just the greedy part of me that would like you to have him back. The selfish side. I'm back in town.
Rob's only got like 5 minutes left. What's your things to change about Gateway Combat number whatever it is with the next big show? What's the changes that should be made?
What are some changes?
Love to hear what he thought.
You need to get somebody with a watch that knows how to keep like something moving along. You need to.
What's all back night? Let's pull it back tonight. Maybe that was it. We pulled back too early.
No, it's like you guys, it was like you guys just never woke up. I mean, you can't take a 37-minute break after the third fight, man.
Yeah. Right.
We thought something happened and somebody wasn't ready or something.
I'm sure what happened, but still, you got to have somebody making sure that everybody's ready.
Yep.
It needs to happen.
The preppers or whoever it is.
What else, Rob?
I would ask your commentators to maybe do a little bit of homework so they know who they're talking about. And if they're going to have somebody, like, telling them about the fighters, then, like, make sure that you can't hear them tell the announcers about the fighters and then hear the announcers repeat what they were just told about the fighters.
Brutal. I think I could be heard.
How about a fight card so people will know who's coming up next?
Post it on
your website or something so people can pull up on their phone.
Hey, Rob, Eddie's on hold.
Who's Jens Pulver fighting?
Shanti Johnson.
Shanti Johnson, huh?
Hey, Blackburn.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, little buddy.
One speed in the house.
Are you cranky?
Where were you last night, Rob?
Are you cranky?
No, dude.
You
want to go to work.
Skippy.
I said you're pulling a Skippy.
Why?
I was trying to hang out with you last night, Rob. Where were you at?
I had to work.
I had some frustration to let out. Those Coors Lights to drink, Rob.
Well, dude, I might have ended up staying at your house if I'd have been there last night, you know, with the fight car getting done at 1:30 in the morning.
Oh, yeah, I know. Long night, dude.
How do you explain that situation to your fighter in the back?
Oh, well, he was pretty upset because he wanted his extra $1,000, obviously. But I got to tell him, man, I got paperwork to do on Monday, and we're going to protest that fight for sure. I've never had a referee come over to my corner and admit to me that he had made a mistake, and he even told me I could punch him in the face. But I said, I don't want to punch in the face. I just want you to admit to the state once I protest. And he said, yeah, not a problem. So that's going to get taken care of.
Yeah, he will for sure. He's a solid guy. Guaranteed he will.
Oh, for sure.
It'll be wiped away.
I got no problems with him, but, you know, it's just that was huge, bro. I mean, we were definitely in the fight, and we just got pushed up against the cage, and he got put in a little bit of a guillotine. He hand-fought for a minute, and then it went to, they're calling it a Darce choke, but it's not a Darce choke. It's just a modified guillotine where he locks up like a rear naked choke, and the referee is supposed to check the arm, but didn't check the arm to see if it was limp. Just asked the guy if he was okay, and he gave him a thumbs up, and the next thing I know it, he's calling the fight, saying he's out, and then Rob looks up at him, right when Rob's looking at him, talking like it's normal, the ref's like, oh my God, I'm so sorry, and comes over to the corner, but, you know, everybody makes a mistake, and we'll get it fixed, and I call the promoter to try to get that fight December 7th, we'll just see if it happens or not.
Nice. That'd be cool.
Yep. Rob said he'll fight him tomorrow. If he has to fight him tomorrow, we'll go down to Brian Johnson. We'll fight him down to Brian Johnson. So it doesn't matter. He just wants to show, you know, that he can beat him, and I know he can beat him.
I'll get paid for it. Just be patient, get paid.
Exactly.
You deserve to get paid for it.
That's all said, though. What about Clinton Radovich, dude? That kick was sick.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Nasty.
Hey, there was an 85. There was an undefeated 85 pounder standing next to me. He said he wants to fight him in January.
Eddie.
What?
Now look.
What?
I totally agree that KO kick was good, but does anybody honestly believe that he showed the performance and level that he's going to need to compete in the top five in his weight class?
No.
Okay.
Skippy. There was an undefeated 185-pounder next to me last night saying he wants to fight him January 25th. Let's make it happen, Clinch. Let's make it happen.
What does that do for Zoe's career? It does nothing.
We want to fight him, though.
He's already matched.
It's a free
page. How do you know he's not matched yet? How do you know he's matched? I'm his manager.
I know. What?
I'm his manager. He ain't matched yet. We haven't signed a contract.
Not your guy, dude. I'm talking about
Clinton.
Clint's already matched.
Oh, that's probably a good thing.
Clint's match is he's fighting Robert Malpris.
That's probably a good thing.
He didn't want to fight Zoe. They turned down Zoe.
That's probably a good thing. No disrespect to Clinton. He's a beast. He's a warrior. I love him. Great guy. I just threw the challenge out. No big deal.
Yeah. Rob and Skippy are in the little queue. They can't hear us. That's funny.
Why? Who can?
We can hear you.
You can now because you're back now.
Hey, I'd rather see Zoe fight somebody who's going to, you know, help legitimize his run in the pro ranks. And I don't think Clint, as impressive that KO was, I don't believe he is somebody at this point that's going to do that for him.
Maybe it was just the heat of the moment. No big deal. Hey, I got names, though. We'd like to fight Bristol Marende. That's possible.
Really?
Will that do something for his career, Skippy?
Fuck yes.
All right.
What other names you got?
Heck, Jerome Jones wants to come up to 85. He won the fight last night. We'd like to fight him. Fight Ivan. I don't care.
Ivan, I think, is a cool win, but I don't think it does anything for him.
And I don't know that Ivan's going to fight again, but I'd like it. There's a lot of fans there. Ivan brought it, man. For all the guys in the card, I don't think anybody covered their ass more than he did. There's a lot of people there for Ivan.
Oh, yeah, big time.
Hey, Labaki, what weight Brandon Pitt fighting at now? 185, right?
Yeah.
That's a
we
good
don't, dude, bring – whatever. I've seen him fight already. We'll bring Brandon – bring Brandon Pitt. I'm telling you, Zoe's angry. He didn't get to fight in that show last night. And can't wait to January. So that guy will be more than ready in January.
Is he healed? Ready? Is he training?
Yeah, doing what he can do without his left, you know, the right. But a lot of freaking jabbing and a lot of hooks will be thrown. We're mastering that. He's going to see another chiropractor this week. Trying to get some physical therapy. He'll be ready by January.
Cool. We'll make something happen. Bristol Miranda. Jeez, man, Christmas. You're so confusing.
I talked to Bristol, though. Bristol wants to fight at 170. But we'll fight him at 85. I'd love to fight Bristol Miranda at 85.
What about fighting somebody like Knopp?
Yeah, we would have fought Knopp on the last show, but Knopp and those guys want way too much money for the promotion.
See, I think
Knopp's going to lose us. Knopp's going to lose his next fight anyway.
Yeah.
To who?
He is, yeah, sure.
Corey DeVilla.
And I'm not setting up a fight with Corey DeVilla. No way. Not now. Maybe a little later. I think he's going to smash Knopp. I think he's
I think he's
going to
smash Knopp, too. He is.
Dude, Corey DeVilla has one fight in 3 years and beats up a tuna can and... You guys are like, he's going to walk through Brett Knopp.
He's going to.
Well, I'm going to come find your seat after. I'm going to come find you after the fight, and I'll tell you I told you so, and you'll be like, hey, you're right. I owe you a beer.
If you get to do that, I'll buy you a Coors Light.
All right.
Hey, you know somebody I think might be good just to really test and see where – he is somebody. It's not a huge name or anything by stretch, but I think
Old Man Dave.
Oh, what about putting him in there against like somebody gritty that, you know? I don't know, man. I mean, I know he's had some tougher fights back in the day, but isn't Rico Washington still fighting up there?
No.
Who are we talking about matching up? Corey DeVilla?
No.
Who are we talking about, Skippy?
I was talking about, you want a quick fight? Yeah, if you want a quick fight, there's somebody who's got experience, somebody who's been around fighting as a pro for, 4 years now? I think he's right around 500 record, but, I mean, he's had some deep fights. He's won via KO and submission and decision, so, I mean, that's a good guy to take.
Who?
Rico Washington.
Who the hell is that?
Never heard of him.
I've never even heard of him, dude.
Is that a guy
Uncle
that was eating
Rico?
Chicken in here a couple shows ago, Skippy?
Dude, that's Uncle Rico, man, from Napoleon Dynamite.
No. You guys obviously don't pay much attention to the card matchmaking that Budo Fight matchmaker Derek's doing. They're bringing in that pro from Minnesota. He's been around, dude. There's a pro card that's going to be televised across the nation.
Just said he's from Washington.
I said he's from the north.
Oh, I thought you said he was from Washington.
I did too.
No!
He just said his name is. Rico Washington.
I was trying.
Who asked Skippy to be on this show?
Jesus! Who's taking the drugs on the show tonight? Me or you guys? I'm trying to get a fight for the December pro card in Oregon for Zoe.
Zoe's fighting January, buddy.
You were just the one asking for a fight. I'm trying to help you out.
Thanks,
why are you screaming and like your voice is cracking like a 14-year-old girl?
That's because
I'm.
You guys got them all excited.
going to go all broken nose on us now.
Don't make me put you in a body bag with a toe tag.
I'm glad Skippy can't go through people's phones, man. We'd have been dead.
Many times.
Oh, shit.
What did you think about the show, Eddie? You like it?
Long.
What needs to be different next time?
What time did you do
that? Things for the next one.
If you're going to do that many fights with that much of talent like that matched up, you need to start it earlier or less fights.
Taylor the fucking chase.
24 fights.
24 fights. Holy cow, you better start that at noon.
12 amateurs and 12 pros.
Dude.
Yeah, you better start that at noon, bro.
When are you
pretty
doing
close.
That?
January 25th. It's the pro-am. There's going to be 12 amateurs and then 12 pros.
On
the amateur
January
part starts
25th?
In the day. Yeah,
oh, I'll be missing that
one.
Oh, my God. I'll miss
Jeff,
that one.
Jeff needs to start at noon.
Jeff, I want to close the
tape. 100 times, dude. 25 fights one day is a suicide mission. You're better off doing back-to-back nights or back-to-back weekends.
Are you guys going to do 12 on Saturday and 12 on Sunday?
No. On Saturday, there's going to be 12.
Jesus.
Amateur will start during the day, like noon. And it'll go till they're done. Well, there'll be a break middle, and then there'll be the night one. But the state's going to sanction it at all. So there'll be no shin pads for amateurs. It'll be just like regular. It'll be cool.
That's sweet.
I thought that in a state-sanctioned show, they had to have shin guards.
No, that's the only place you don't.
No.
Just,
how is that
way to...
The shin guards are for, like,
so much safer with them
higher... You hire a sanctioning body to come in, and an outside sanctioning body from the state, you have to wear shin guards and 6-ounce gloves. If you have the state come in and do everything, then it's the same thing as the pros.
Yep.
They just take more money from your gate.
Yep.
Where you pay the sanctioning body, or the state comes in, and you pay the state 10, I think it's 10% or something like that, of the gate, and then $1 for every ticket they sell.
I did talk to him.
6%. 6%, $1 every 6%, ticket.
6%, you're right, yeah. 6% and then $1 for every ticket.
Which adds up. Yeah, a show like that is going to be a lot. With that many fights and that kind of pro card, it's going to be big. And the amateur card, the amateurs are going to be able to win a pro contracts. So that's pretty
good. Dude, you're going to have a hard time. You're going to have a hard time getting people to show up for 25 fights. If 14 fights take 6.5 hours.
You know, those people there's some hardcore fans there last night, though, at 1 o'clock in the morning. There was still a lot of people in the crowd.
Yeah, and I don't think that, Rob, there's going to be like two shows in one day. It's not going to be like one giant long show.
That's still
it. Some people
don't
want
to come. I'll tell you the same thing I told Sparta Combat League. That's a dumb idea.
Yep, and Justice Nero is the first one to tell you he will never pull that shit again. He said it was a bad deal.
Well, it's not to make money. It's not why they're doing it.
Oh, what do you want to kill your fan base?
Well, hey, Jeff, let me answer your question. I want fucking Taylor the tapes on the screen, and I want the commentator to shut up when the ring announcer is talking.
Yeah, that's another
thing. Didn't hear what he said in the first thing.
He said he wants to see a tail of the tape.
On the screen.
Okay.
And he wants the announcers to not talk over the ring announcer.
Okay.
Yeah. I think, honestly, you guys put up the name of each fighter when they were walking out, but it went up for like 2 seconds, disappeared, and then you couldn't hear what the ring announcer was saying because Jim Fulver was wanting to tell us about some story about 1986 in Oklahoma wrestling a goat. Oh,
I give props to the venue, though. That venue was sweet.
Dude, I love the name drops he was doing. He's like, oh, yeah, man, this is a great fight. The kid did that spinning head kick. I learned that from Pat Miletich.
I couldn't hear most of what he was saying because there's someone sitting between us and it was loud. But yeah, I didn't know that you could hear me, Skippy. Rob said he could hear me the whole time.
Were you the girl screaming real loud? Oh, you look sexy, sweaty!
Yeah,
And I'll tell you what, definitely, I don't know why you guys, dude, I watch a million fucking events online. Why do people think they're going to black out the fucking crowd so we can't see anything 18 inches past the cage?
Bad lighting. Nothing blacked out.
No, I watch events all the time, man. They're lit up well, crowds lit up well, videos clean. You guys had great video. Great. But it's so dark, and I think it's a glowing white, like, octagon, and that's it. But audio-wise and video-wise, best they've ever done. But I want to tell her the tape, just because I don't want to hear Vince Pulver apologize for trying to pick shit 2 minutes into a fight.
Well, the next one, he's not on the next one. He's fighting in it, so. One after him. That's
get,
for sure.
Get Ken Sylvia then, now. That way we can keep the Pat Millicent stories going.
No.
Yeah, maybe you can, like, maybe we can have, like, an old, decrepit UFC fighter, like, trend happen here with Cage Warrior Combat.
That's
you.
Like, maybe next they could bring in Ken Shamrock. From Jens Pulver to Ken Shamrock.
If you bring in Ken Shamrock, I only ask that you allow Javier to give him a hand job.
Oh, that's true.
and take a load in the face.
Yeah. Be cool.
That'll be up to Javier. That'll be up to Javier, the last part, but.
Javier, you got to do this for us, man. You got to take one for the team. My buddy did it for Travis.
You owe me, buddy. Come on, you owe me this one. It's Ken Shamrock.
So, Eddie,
how's
Larry doing?
What's the time? He's in a brace for 6 weeks, and he should be back in March.
No surgery needed then, just rehab?
Yep, exactly. No surgery, just rehab. He got lucky, and he wants to wait one more fight for his pro debut, and he wants to rematch Jordan Hyatt, and he wants his belt, he said. So, see what happens.
Jordan Hyatt, move, Rob.
Better hurry up. Jordan ain't got much time left.
Yeah, he hasn't moved yet, but he's going to be, once he gets out, he's probably moving back to New Jersey. But he said he would like to come back out here and fight.
Yeah, he did say he'd come back out to fight. That's true.
He wants to come out and refight. He wants to rematch Adam Catterlin. And I'm sure he'd probably rematch Larry. I don't know. I know he wants to rematch Adam Catterlin.
Yes.
The guy that beat him on Brian Johnson's card, Northwest Fight Challenge card.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know Larry wants to fight him in March, so I'll try to make that happen.
Jeff.
Yes, sir.
Did you work Battle in the Barn?
Yes.
Wow, where did they get those ring girls?
Dude, what happened to the tall blonde ring girl, Jeff? Did you guys all have a falling out with her? You brought in, like, three new ones, two of which you could have done without. There was, like, we brought in one cute one and two ugly ones to add on to the one girl.
That's Mingo's thing, so...
You need to hire whoever hired those girls to battle in the bar and fire Mingo and have his job replaced with that
man,
guy.
Man, dude, I've been on this radio with you guys for like 20 minutes, and all you've talked bad about is Cage Warrior Combat. What's up with that, guys? That was a good show last night. A little long, but good. You know how hard? You guys know how hard it is as a promoter to put a show on, and you guys are sitting back beating this thing up. Skippy, I'm disappointed, bro.
Eddie, first of all, we have no problem when somebody asks us our opinion to openly give it. Second of all, I've stated over and over, it was a good event. It was a good card. He asked me what to fix. If you would have asked me what to fix about your event, I'd have given you a list, too.
Oh, what?
I wouldn't ask you.
Because
see, that's the difference, Eddie. Jeff asked us. So, I mean, I can't it was a perfect
man.
Event.
I just want to say, as a promoter and a matchmaker, it's freaking difficult to get these things going. It's a lot of time and a lot of work.
Yep.
And then when you guys want a great show, you know.
As a guy that's put on 100 weddings at probably a minimum of $15,000, I can tell you there's ways to put make everything happen in a timely fashion. I mean, Eddie, I'm sorry, but you can't tell me that having a 37-minute fucking break after the third fight is a good thing.
Well, there was a reason why that break was. The guy had to go to the hospital, and they were had to get an ambulance in and everything, get that cleared up before they even started the next fight. I asked the same question.
Maybe you make that announcement. Maybe you make that announcement.
Yeah, I don't know why that announcement was. I don't know. You know, I can't. I wasn't behind scenes. I don't know what's going on. I just see little things here and there. And as a promoter and a matchmaker, I'm just saying, dude, it's difficult to put to make things go and go and go. I mean, you really got to be on top of things. And I think they did an excellent job for, you know, the show that they put on. And the venue was phenomenal.
They did.
The crowd, you know.
I know.
What's that?
They did a great job. And I know for a fact the whole week leading up, what little gray-haired Jeff could grow, he was growing because that's a critical time, weigh-ins, guys getting hurt fight week. That could fuck a card like this up completely, you know. So I understand these guys busted their butt, you know. But to take their product, which we're not talking about yours or Cage this or Super that or anybody else. We're talking about Cage Warrior Combat. For them to take their product with the names they're putting on and have it at the level of the Access events or even the GFL events like EC, CFC, and CFFC and stuff, there's certain tweaks they're going to have to make. And if we can't be honest, not only as friends, but as media, then what's the fucking point?
No, I asked you. You told me. It's all good.
I'm not here to blow any promoter.
I'm here. Look, I want to tell you. I want to see the next card go down visually as good as this one did. Visually as good as this one did. I just want to see it tell of the tape. I'm an asshole. I like tell of the tape. I think they should be up on every episode.
It will be. They wanted it this time. It just got figured out too late. But it'll be on the next one.
Yeah, but the replays was fucking great. I was surprised when the first replay went up. I was like, yes! It's replay. Great. That's a good move.
I love how they did it, too, like with that kick where they, like, he kicked him and he backed off, and he kicked him and he backed off. He brought everyone forward. That's cool. You really see that.
That was awesome.
Such a vicious
hand. Hey, guys, I got to go into work and make a living. So, you know, thanks for having me on, and we'll talk to you guys soon.
Tell your boss we said hi.
Yeah, for sure. Later.
Later.
Yeah, hey, look, dude, I'm so excited, you know, that I think the next card, just the two fights I've heard are really intriguing, especially Houston and Benji. I like that.
Yeah, and they're not superstars, but they're just a good fight. They're somewhat their names.
And dude, they're still both relevant. Houston,
yeah,
just didn't Houston just what do you go 2-1 or 2-3?
One, you know.
And over in Europe, he was just tearing it up recently.
He was supposed to fight on this one against Mike Hayes. But they wouldn't sign because it was right when he won the last fight, and so we thought that they needed something else. But otherwise, it would have been Mike Hayes and him last night. I think that would be a great fight.
And look, you know, Benji losing to Scott Smith, come on, man. A lot of people have been knocked out by that dude. But back to his fight against Ovince St. Peru, somebody I feel right now at 205 in the UFC is a legitimate fucking top tenner.
But Chris Lieben got his job broke, couldn't fight for like a year and a half.
Oh, yeah, he's beaten Gerald Harris, he's beaten Bristol, he's beaten fucking quite a few dudes, you know. I mean, he did lose to Matt Horwich. I was going to say, I thought he beat Matt, but, you know, I think Alex is a Benji versus Houston's a good fight.
Yeah. Well, I ain't sweating what you guys are saying, I'm come. I understood you, so there's no...
I know.
I appreciate you doing that, but we're good. I wanted real feedback. That's how things could change.
Dude, that's what I thought. Houston, yeah, he did go overseas, and he went 2-1 over there.
He's decent. Jens Pulver and Shanti Johnson, that's a weird fight to me. That's kind of like this card. Where's like the legends, the oldies, you know, the guys that are on the backside of their career. As opposed to more of the Ian Williams-type fights and Drew Brokenshire and Sterling Ford fights. I like those better.
Yeah, but the one thing you have with Jens Pulver is he's got a kind of a niche in Asia. Fans over there seem to really love him. It's a good draw. I don't know why.
He's from here.
I know.
So he
has
a lot of fans.
He goes over.
People coming up the whole time for his fucking autograph. That's what kept interrupting it, too. People coming up for his autograph. Mingo bringing him up being an idiot, interrupting him right in the middle of his talking. He was getting so pissed. Are you going to punch Mingo?
And I'll tell you what. You know when we did the MMA draft, I picked Jan Blachowski in my top in my draft picks, and he went to a decision win over Houston not a year ago. So, I mean, Houston's still somewhat relevant, still somewhat talented, still somewhat, you know, able to put on a great fight. He's got an above 500 record. I like it. I think it's good. For you know, Jim, I don't know why fans, whether they're here or overseas, seem to like that dude. I mean, he's an exciting fighter back in the day for sure.
This won't be his first time fighting in a Cage Warrior Combat either.
Say that again?
That won't be Jen's first time fighting at Cage Warrior Combat either.
No, it won't be the first time. He's fought here before. So he's fought here. He's been a commentator before. We've been tatter friends. So, it's yeah. I think he's part of the reason why he's fighting. We'll see. I'm hoping for some other big names to be rolled out for that. I'd like to see more, maybe something bigger than those two.
You know what I would like to see, and I'll be honest, I mean, I want to see you guys pull in some names, some veterans. It helps sell, let's be honest. They've got fans.
Yeah.
But I would like to see maybe two pro fights on the main side, but not regional fucking fighters. I want to see some guys at the level of like Frankie Perez kind of guys who are, you know, 8-9-0, 7-1, pro from Midwest who are just tearing it up where they're from, or somebody from the East Coast. I'd like to see more of those fights.
Two guys from
somewhere
else going against each other.
Huh?
Two guys not from here.
Yeah.
Two guys not from here.
Yeah, like a guy from Arkansas who's got a huge fan base and a great pro record, and a guy – like, we'll use Frankie Perez for an example. You bring him in from the East Coast. Now, that opens up a huge market for pay-per-views for all his fans because he's got a great record. He's super loved. I mean, and then you go maybe to Arkansas or Texas or maybe Colorado and grab, you know, somebody like, you know, the along the lines of Edwards. Dude, Bad Intentions. You bring him up here. He fucking beat Efrain. I don't give a fuck what anybody says. 3 months ago, I watched that fight, and he whooped fucking Efrain Escudero from bell to bell, and he lost the decision, which I totally fucking thought was bullshit. But that's what I'm saying. You know, maybe you know, your undercard and your beginning televised card or main card, whatever you want to call it, has our guys from the regions, the West Coast, the Pac Northwest, the Utah, Wyoming, you know, fighters. Then maybe one or two fights with some guys from outside our region, and then finish it off with one or two vet fights.
Yeah, I was thinking at least
one guy.
The only
problem with that, though, Stevie, and most promoters will tell you this, that most of these promoters will say, yeah, but why would I want to bring this guy in? It's going to cost me $8,000, and he's not going to sell a fucking ticket.
That's a fact.
Just to sell pay-per-views.
Not much money in that.
$7 a pop or
$7
$50 a pop, you know?
Well, dude, I tell you what, you know, if you got a chance to put 50 people on pay-per-view more than you put in your event, then great. It's, you know, otherwise, at what point are we going to become Cage Sport 2?
Well, here's my thing.
Yeah, no,
like, if the quality of the stream and things like that from last night, you'll be able to build more viewers for the pay-per-view. That's not a problem. Like, that was a good stream. Wasn't, I mean, I only had like a couple little glitches, but it wasn't nothing that lasted a long time. But yeah, but I mean, it's just hard for some of these. I mean, they'd have to bring these guys in to fight a local guy. Like, you have to pit like a Pac Northwest versus Colorado or Pac Northwest versus New York.
Yeah. It's like that. One from here and one from somewhere else. And every fight should be cool.
So I disagree, dude. CFSC, Cage Fury Fighting Championship. Dude, they did two cards this weekend, an amateur on Friday and a pro on Saturday. Their pro card had 12 states represented, including California, Arizona, Colorado, Montana. And none of those guys were fighting guys locally. They did it
the same region, though.
30 being the other big thing there, Skip. I mean, they're on their 30th show and they're able to do that.
Yeah.
Where Cambat's on their 9th show and we got their 10th show rolling up like December 11th.
You're going to tell me
the next fight in 2 weeks. The January Cambat 10th is in 2 weeks, November 16th.
You're going to tell me for the same price as the main event at your card, I couldn't get 4 good pro fighters to my event?
No, you could.
Yeah, exactly. That's a thing. Look,
yeah, but
you
Skippy, who are they going to sell tickets to? They got to be able to recoup that money. That's how they're looking at it.
Well, dude, yeah. And you know what? With today's technology, it's going beyond ticket sales. You've got to know how to use internet sales to make money these days. Look, I watch organizations that don't do nothing but pay-per-view events, and dude, not only are they putting 2,000-3,000 people in the seats at the at the venues, but they're selling hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of pay-per-views.
I think it's the last night's pay-per-views will probably be pretty good.
Look, I'm not saying that, they got to go out and charge, $60 to pay-per-view like Zuffa. Look, $9.99, $14.99, whatever. But when you do that and your fan base is able to watch and you start hitting first, Siam Fight does or Take on Muay Thai does, where they're hitting 10, 15, 17, 20,000, dude, you can't put that in a fucking venue.
Yeah, that's different for sure. I would think that last night the level of card that it was, if the show was a little more together, would be like a $29 pay per view or something, $24.99 pay per view.
They can't ever go above $14.99 right now. They're maxed out. Nobody's gonna pay $14.99 for a card.
Yeah,
nobody.
Dude, I'll just tell you right now. I'll tell you right now that
I don't
participate
know.
In quite a few forums that of people that watch mixed martial arts. And if you want somebody to pay $24.99 for a pay-per-view, you better be putting on some kind of a card with, like, the champion from Shudo versus the championship from Deep and the championship from Jungle Fights versus the champion of Combetti, Batetti Combat. I mean, like, where it's like some fucking savages, bro, because people are not willing to pay more than $9.99 or $14.99 for a pay-per-view.
I
hadn't looked at anything. I didn't know what the I just thought with the $14 and then you said $60. I just thought it was more of a middle of the road kind of card, but I really meant.
Well,
somewhere in between. The
Show Fight put on a great card a couple years ago now, and it was an all-star card, and they only charged $14.99. And I mean, we all know that card. We've all talked about it.
Show Fight 20.
Yes, they had a stacked card, and it was worth every fucking penny of that $14.99. I'm not saying that Cage Warrior Combat can't even get there and go past them and go to television if they do it right. I mean, that's their ultimate goal, more than likely. But they have got to start realizing that if they want to put money in the pocket, they have got to focus on internet sales as well as ticket sales regionally. Because, look, if you end up having a night that you only have 200, 300, 400 tickets sold, but you can sell 100 pay-per-views, well, then you fucking, definitely did better.
Yeah, but you only made $700 bucks still.
One of the owners is very much all about internet sales. It's his driving thing behind this. And the other one is more about the people and businesses in front of him. So the two of them together should be have it all covered, I would think. But, definitely
for me,
all about the internet.
It's good. Like, there's two avenues that you can kind of look at these early pay-per-views. You can look at them like where in one aspect it's good that you set the price at $14.99 because by establishing that price, now you don't have to ever answer that question of why did you do an increase. Sure. But at the same time, there's also that aspect where a guy looks at this fight card and he's like, well, $14.99, I don't know. $9.99, I'd buy it for sure. $14.99, who's Raven Juice? Who's that con? Who, they're like, is a card with Hayes and Munson worth but I think over the long run, if you continue to put shows on like this, where they just run a little bit more fluid, there's not like big breaks of like time, that you'll be able to have more buyers, which is ultimately the goal, of course. But I don't think that you can ever really rely on a pay-per-view at less than $20 to be a huge driver of your revenue.
I disagree, man. Lion Fight built their whole organization off of pay-per-views. And they're only 11 in, bro, and they got a TV deal.
Lion Fight, Skippy, you're also talking about, like, Lion Fight is one of the premier Muay Thai organizations on the planet. I mean, we're talking about a local, regional mixed martial arts show. They're not going to be sitting here battling with XFC and Legacy. They're, you know, that's not their level.
If they want to, and they want to compete and smash everybody regionally, especially, they've got to go the route of IPPU and be successful at it.
Yeah, excuse me, nobody's saying that they can't sell a fucking pay-per-view. What I'm telling you is that it's not really a conceivable idea to think that at $7 a buy that you can ever turn a pay-per-view into a huge portion of your revenue stream.
It's better than having 100 people.
I got to sell five pay-per-views to make one ticket.
Okay, and that's the thing is at least you have that option. If nobody comes to your event and you don't hit the numbers that you're supposed to, look, let's be honest. I don't know what the ticket sales were last night, but from the video feed, that place is not packed up. So
2,600.
Okay, so 2,600. That should have been 5,000 people at least there.
Yes,
so 2,600 doesn't pay the fucking bills either, Lapaki.
I'm not saying it does. You know, I mean, and if there were 2,600 people there, did you guys have them, like, spread out over, like, 40 acres?
Well, there were 2,600 people there. But it did fit. It was set up for 4,200. That's why it looked so empty. So it probably looked barely half full. Did it? I don't know. From where I was, I couldn't tell.
Yeah.
See, look, I think just because of sometimes your location of the event and as well as, you know, the fighters fighting, and you focus on pushing your internet sales, you can make good money off that. When Siam Fight has 17,000 buys at fucking $14.99, that's good fucking money. That's more than you're going to put in the venue.
You know, they're either listening to us or they're going to listen to this, just so you know. One of the two. If they're not listening right now, they will listen to it.
I don't care.
Okay. Me neither.
I know you don't. I'm just telling you, that's good, the stuff that you're doing. It's because they will hear it. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, okay. Because otherwise, don't bring me on the show. You don't want to hear what my big mouth has to say.
No, I'm saying it's good. You're going to hear it. It's good stuff.
I have watched, and I'm going to tell you right now, and if they're listening, the single best commentating done by far to date was solo Mr. Rob rocking it. I was impressed. I'm not going to lie, dude. I was. And I thought some of the fights from that card, I wish we could have seen them on this card, and some of the fights on this card, I wish we could have pushed to that card. But, you know, product they're building and the way they're growing, there are two avenues they're going to have to address. And, yeah, Lapaki, ticket sales is very important. But sponsorship and IPPVs are second and third, and you've got to focus on those just as much as you do ticket sales.
No, yeah, Skippy, we all agree on that. But what I'm telling you is that you're never going to sell 10,000 pay-per-views to a Cage Warrior Combat card.
Why?
Why?
Why? When an amateur tie card in Arizona can only put 600 people in the fucking shit, but they sell 17,000 pay-per-views?
Skippy, because
sport,
they're
man.
Bringing people in from all over the world.
Thank
and they've
you.
Built up this following. But you,
you
Skippy, how many
region fighters to help build your iPay-per-view?
Skippy, do you know how many iPay-per-views I can fucking buy in one weekend? Do you know how many events I can watch for free in one weekend that involve MMA?
A lot.
I want it.
Probably about we have 6 to 13 events a weekend that we can watch for free between me and you.
I mean, so that's the other thing you have to consider, dude. Now you've also got to make a product that is going to bring people from watching a free event on Batete Television or Combate Television in Brazil to why are they going to pay for your event?
Because you are putting not only regional fighters, you're bringing in a headliner and a co-headliner, and you're bringing in at least 1 to 2 fights outside your market to help bring those pay-per-view sales to you. That way, when somebody like Frankie Perez, who sells 200 to 300 tickets at his event, he's fighting on the West Coast now. If you can get 75 of those people who spend $25 to buy a $14 pay-per-view, you are better off because you're building your brand, not only for them, your fighters, your sponsors, the fighters on your card.
You're not better off having a guy go from buying a ticket to buying a pay-per-view. I'm sorry. If he was already willing to buy a ticket, him buying a pay-per-view isn't building your brand. It's just you're redirecting revenue as it comes in because he already was a believer in your brand if he was buying a ticket.
Dude, okay, first of all, I understand that. But how many times are we going to see the same 6 fucking guys at 185 in Washington fight each other? It's fucking stupid. None of these guys want to fight anybody else except the guy who lives down the fucking block. And to build your fucking organization, you got to bring in guys who they don't fucking know, who they didn't fight a cage for, a cage quest, axe, show fights, fucking whatever fucking Bart Smith's throwing this week. You've got to have other talent coming in, and that's important for your ticket sales too. I don't want to see Drew Brokenshire versus fucking Julian Arosa 16 a year from now.
Well, what about just 2?
Yeah, fuck y'all, dude.
Drew should be done here.
I was
going to bring in somebody big.
I like when sometimes Skippy starts comparing apples to watermelons.
It's not, dude. Look, it comes down to if you bring in top talent, you will bring the pay-per-view sales too. Ticket sales are more money, but if you're not selling tickets because everybody's already seen the 2 guys fucking fight, then why not take a shot in the dark and try to make some money the other way?
Because you know why they keep having the same 2 motherfuckers fight, Skippy? Because those 2 motherfuckers sell 200 fucking tickets apiece.
Okay.
That's why they keep fighting.
And that, dude, and what? And that's going to build not only the fan base and the career. Okay, I've seen them fight twice now. It's honestly like tonight when you guys brought up the whole Kovac Hayes. Come on. A third?
I
don't want to see a fucking fourth of JDS. I don't want to see a third of this guy or that guy. Dude, I don't want to see a third of Alvarez Chandler. That was a fucking okay fight. It wasn't so
bad. I don't know what you're smoking. That was a fucking rad fight last night.
You put that in your top 5 all-time fights?
All time? No.
Yes.
Would I put it in my top 5 all-time lightweight fights? Yeah, I have a hard time not placing that fight, and there's my top 5 all-time lightweight fights.
Top 5 all-time fights are rematch fights or rubber match fights. Everything else is because one guy's dick feels smaller than the others.
Right.
Did you watch either of those fights? Did you watch the first one or the one last night?
I did watch. The first one I thought was better.
Wow.
And I gave Chandler 1-3 easy and then 5.
I didn't give him 5. I gave him 1, 2, and 4. And I gave Alvarez 3 and 5.
So then obviously, you know, you feel the decision didn't go the right way either. And then
I don't know how that you're giving Michael Chandler a round where he was getting fucking punished for 3.5 minutes.
What, round 5?
Yeah.
Dude, I told you what, I felt round 5.
You were intoxicated. You were too intoxicated.
I felt round 5. I just saw some aggression in him at the end. I liked, maybe that's what it was. Maybe that pit bull mentality that came out. I don't know.
What pit bull mentality? Did he was either getting choked out or punched in the face for most of the 5th round?
Most. Not all of it.
Well, yeah, the last 3.5 minutes of it for sure.
Well, dude, that's once again why I think you should judge a fight in its fucking entirety, not round by round on some 10-point bullshit system. Because if you judge the fight in its entirety, he won it.
I don't know, dude. Who came out of the fight looking worse? If we're going to judge it in its entirety.
Dude, no. You can't play that shit, because otherwise Trevor Prangley lost to Jared Jorgensen.
I haven't seen that fight yet. Maybe he did.
You can't go by that shit. Come on, man. How many times have we seen a guy busted up bloody fucking meat hanging and he gets to the KO to win it?
Lucky shots. I mean, dude, just because you clip somebody with a lucky hook or something don't always mean that you had a great performance.
I didn't say great performance. I said won it. Look, Anderson Silva didn't have a great performance against fucking Chael, but he won it. That's all that matters. He had his hand raised, and Chael didn't.
You came out looking to troll tonight, didn't you?
No. Shit, dude. I actually just came out to fucking... like, have a cigarette, and I turned the show on, and it was just like, here it goes.
Oh, here it goes. Here goes Skippy. Do you want to talk about Obamacare next?
Sure. I love it. I signed up the first day. I had no problems. My savings are great. I'm all American. I love Obama. Thumbs up. American change for the better. What next?
Are you more excited for Anchorman 2 or Super Troopers 2?
Neither. I thought they were both crap movies, and I wouldn't waste my time getting stupid watching them again.
God, you're a hater.
Dude, you want to watch a good movie, you should watch this movie called Debbie Does Dallas. It's a classic, classic movie.
Does this look like a picture from Brokeback Mountain?
I'm not looking at that, no.
Just look at it.
No.
It's a picture from the Alvarez-Chandler fight.
That's a naked chicken hat on black panties tattoo.
No, it's not. The last one?
Oh. Fan? No. You better be. Dude, I'm serious, dude. Oh, nothing happened. Nothing happened. There's nothing there.
Oh, that's weird.
You know what else is weird? I'm going to be gone, Eagle.
Me too. Tonight's episode of the Sunday Night MMA Breakdown brought to you by Clinch Custom Mouthguards, MMAMadhouse.com, and the great, the one, the only, Mikey Ruckus. Make sure you go find his stuff over at MikeyRuckus.com, and that's a wrap, people.